The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Provision?
Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The show hasn't even started. We're already arguing about food. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the Patriots are getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers Monday night in Charlotte.
When they're not making rap videos.
Everyone's excited.
Yeah.
Andy thinks this is going to be a tougher game than the Broncos game the next week. We shall see.
A tougher game?
Tougher game.
For who?
For the Patriots.
The Panthers.
I was confused there for a minute. Right. I was going to speak, and then I was like, I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, so.
I think this is a tough matchup.
I agree.
Lot of issues here that, and a part of it is the, I'll be honest with you, I think it's a bad matchup that I would have, without the Steelers game, I would have really been down on.
Yeah.
But the Steelers game gives you hope.
Right.
That those weapons are back, you're adding Shane Vereen, that the offense is kind of back.
Yeah.
But I can't just wipe away the previous eight.
See, I think the Steelers game gives you hope, but more hope for the Broncos game. I think if you can get into a defensive struggle, you have a chance. You're in the game, but the Broncos game can get away from you in a hurry.
Well, that's kind of what my question was about. Like, do you think it's going to be tougher against Carolina because it's going to be a blowout against Denver? Is that what you meant? That was kind of what my question was.
No, I feel better today about the chances of beating the Broncos than I did previously, given their defense, given the turnovers on offense, and given Peyton Manning being hurt. They can't protect him. And I actually think we've shown a decent pass rush for most of the year.
Yeah.
So I feel better about that matchup. And Aqib Talib, I'm assuming, will be back.
Right.
And
that's the X factor.
I'm assuming he's covering Demaryius Thomas.
He has to be available. Right.
I'm hoping he's available this week.
Right.
I don't think you need him as much this week. You're not going against a passing attack that doesn't really have a true number one option. You know, Steve Smith at this point
he's
in his career is a myth. I think you could get by without him, but I'd like to see him out there, you know, the old knock the rust off against the Panthers, so when Demaryius Thomas trots on the field, you're ready.
All right, a little bit of a different Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. Normally this is media day, but because it's a Monday night game, the players actually have the day off.
I mean, you know, because they didn't have enough days off last week.
So one of you and or more will not have to rush out to go to the locker room for availability, which is good.
Already talked to Gronk, got the interview done, everything's done.
So we have an unfettered 2 hours of PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Toll free 855-PATS-500 is the number.
It's too bad you didn't know about the video when you did the interview.
Right. I would have, you know.
That would have been fun thing
that
to talk
video
about.
I could have talked about.
Yeah.
Well, as far as the fans are concerned, the big news is Ed Reed. And there was a poll on NFL.com about where would be the best place for him. And overwhelmingly, the Patriots.
I agree.
The Patriots, I think, had 32%.
We should put that poll on today. Where should Ed Reed go? To the Patriots? Yeah. Canton.
The closest after the Patriots was other with 27%. Ravens and Jets, I think, came in like 16-15%. But 32% out of about 50,000 votes said the Patriots would be the best
one
spot
out of three
for him
people
to land.
Think he should come here.
Yep.
It's impressive.
Yeah, but they're all Patriots fans.
Could be. I mean, we do well on those polls. We tend to but what do you guys think? I mean, should they be kicking the tires here and seeing what it would take?
I would.
Or does that disrupt the apple cart too much?
No, I mean,
not really
a guy like
about
that
apple cart.
With you know, Bill's known affection for him as a player, I think you at least have to do some sort of due diligence.
What do you lose on the field if you sell say to Steve Gregor, hey, Steve, your thumb has hurt a little bit more than you thought it was, and you bring in Ed Reed? Do you lose anything play-wise on the field?
Well, I certainly think the way he's been playing, you lose something near the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's been a force within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Gregory has.
Yeah. So
I
think you lose that aspect to your secondary.
Okay.
Because you're not going to ask McCourty to do that. Reed doesn't do that. So I think you lose some of that.
Okay.
What I think you gain, though, is a little bit more comfort level with your depth at that position.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm
not looking to replace Gregory either. I'm more looking for, like, all right, you have Nate Ebner who never plays. You have Tavon Wilson who's terrible and never plays. You've got Daron Harmon who has
just say never plays.
Well, because we've seen him play and we know he's terrible.
And you hate him. Since the day he was drafted, he has been a hair across your ass.
True, because he never should have been drafted.
Bad visual, but yeah.
If he were an undrafted rookie free agent.
How do you think Tavon Wilson feels? He's like a hair.
Oh, it's not his fault. He wasn't the one who drafted himself. If he were an undrafted player, I'd feel differently about him.
He'd be rooting for him.
I would, actually. I would.
You would.
But I think
for some reason, you're just taking it as a personal crusade.
I know. It's just like the anger.
It's one of those things.
Right. Reed would be a depth signing in my vision. My vision is, if something happens to Harmon, you avoid the Tavon Wilson stepping on the field. Or maybe he has more than we think he has left, and even in extra defensive back packages, he can still be something.
I mean, he signed for good money over in Houston, right?
Well, sort of. It was 1 year, $5 million.
Enough money where, you know, Houston surprised themselves at this guy. They're disappointed themselves that he didn't become a starter. Yeah. I mean, it's a waste of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. A Sean Ellis waste of money.
Terrible signing for
you. You had a role for him, and he didn't.
And right. I think they guaranteed it, too.
So what I'm getting at is, if there was any chance that this guy could have contributed, they would have had him on the field. So what's going on with Ed Reed?
Well, there's separate. I mean, one of the issues, he started bitching, you know, talking about coaching and being out-coached and some of that. Now, there's other reports
on a losing team.
They let him go because they wanted to give him the chance to catch on with a contender. I don't really buy that, but... Yeah. That's out there.
Well, yeah, they didn't want to have to listen to him anymore.
Yeah, I think they got rid of him because he was a pain.
Right.
Just like Baltimore got rid of him because he was a pain. And I think that if you could do the scenario that Andy and Eric just described, I'd be okay with it. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he thinks he's Ed Reed. I think he wants to come in and play all the time. I think, first of all, I think he plays the same style that you're getting from Devin McCourty. I think he's more of a free safety and not a line of the scrimmage type guy like
Gregory.
Like Gregory has played at times this year. Not that Gregory hasn't been in coverage. And the whole veteran leader thing in a part-time role, he has not taken kindly to that. And it's not just this year.
But
he caused problems.
Here.
I know. I mean, maybe, listen, you're probably right. Usually that's the way it works out. It probably would work.
There
is no downside. There's no, I mean, you bring him in and he bitches and you cut him. No downside to that.
You could argue that he would treat it differently because of whatever he thinks of Belichick.
And he could.
You know, that whatever their little bromance is, that it would work out differently. Now, I joke to Paul, Fred, all these times Belichick has... He's another guy that the relationship really got close at the Pro Bowl. Those don't seem to work out.
Right.
We have a bad history of when Bill says, I got to know him at the Pro Bowl. It hasn't worked out.
But it's amazing how every single time one of these scenarios unfolds... That's the narrative is, well, Belichick will get him. And, like, Belichick's track record is 50-50 at best with these guys. But we don't seem to talk about Adalys Thomas. You know, we don't seem to bring up Albert Haynesworth.
Or Ocho Cinco.
We only talk about Corey Dillon and Randy Moss.
Right.
You know, when it's these guys that, oh, well, Belichick will get him under his thumb. You know, yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I love Ed Reed. I think he's a great player. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. So now he's a part-time guy. It would appear as if he does not want to be a part-time guy. He didn't like it in Baltimore. He caused problems while they were on their way to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, and he wasn't happy. And now you know, he's in Houston, and I agree with Andy. I think that Houston is sort of trying to let him save a little face, and they want right. to make it look like it's not.
Because he's Ed Reed.
He's a pain in the ass, is yeah. what he is. I love Ed Reed. I love him. I think he's one of the best safeties, if not the best, to ever play. I have a lot of respect for his career. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. If they bring him in and he can serve as insurance for Daron Harmon, you know, I don't see a downside.
And with the upside being more, maybe Bill yeah. can yeah, tinker absolutely. And find a
yeah,
way
but
to.
But doesn't Daron Harmon become insurance for him if you bring him in? I mean, doesn't he kind of, isn't he at this point still
I don't want
better
him,
than Harmon?
I don't want him playing. Yeah,
okay.
Sure. I don't.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen enough of him to really say what he has left. I also don't feel like I've seen enough of Daron Harmon to say what he is. But
no,
my only point would be Daron Harmon is likely to start this week. In Carolina, he's yeah. likely to be your starting safety next to McCourty.
Next to McCourty.
And I'm not ready to just say claim Ed Reed or sign Ed Reed and make him your starting safety. I'm not quite ready to say that.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing is he could get claimed. You know, the, yeah. the contract is not as
I don't really understand the contract.
I've Ralph seen Wilson
so,
over here.
I've seen so many different things.
I've never really comprehended perspective.
There's no acceleration, right?
Four.
Like the two remaining years, it was a guaranteed contract for the first year,
something like that.
So if you take him, you're guaranteed. I think it's like $400,000 plus the games.
Yeah, it's like $400,000 salary, which is just the prorated portion.
Plus whatever
of the
he makes each week.
Plus it's like 62 a game.
Yeah, but nothing in the future.
No,
right?
No. Well, I mean, he's still under contract.
No, but you can cut him.
Yeah.
And not be responsible Correct. For any acceleration.
That
in
is
the future.
My understanding.
That's my understanding too. But Mike Reese, who was really good at this stuff, seemed to think that there was some acceleration. He wasn't sure about it. He was sort of confused about it as well.
Yeah, I think it's just you're claiming him for $800,000
yeah,
or whatever
then,
the
you know.
Well, actually, not even because you can cut him next.
I think there's a chance he goes unclaimed, because for half a season, that's a good chunk for
yeah.
half a season, and you might roll the dice and say, well, I can just sign him as a veteran minimum guy and get him the prorated whatever that is.
Yeah.
But. There's not a huge downside. I agree
right.
with everybody, and I think it's probably going to happen.
I think
he's going to come.
I think
Plus,
if he
to
doesn't...
see Reed 20 on the back of a Patriots jersey,
you're probably not going to get to see it.
Mike Lynch.
I think
right?
if,
in the day.
I think if you can get Gino him for
Cappelletti?
The veteran minimum,
oh, yeah.
number
he
20?
Accepts his role, you do it. Otherwise, we'll
I don't know if he accepts
well,
his
part
role
of you,
until he
doesn't
accepts
part
his
of you
role.
Say
he's got to be here?
Doesn't part of you say why didn't it get done in the offseason? If there's that much respect and love for the
well, because
between
then
the two
you
of them.
Would have had to have signed him to a real deal.
Would you have?
Yeah.
So
I think
now,
so now, he wasn't going to come here for low money.
Well, you could also argue that Adrian Wilson theoretically was the better fit as the in the box, physical, strong safety type that they
I
were
suppose.
Looking for. Now he never played, so it never really mattered.
Yeah, and there was also rumor. I don't know if this is accurate.
I read
or heard somebody say yesterday that Belichick evidently had talked to Ed Reed in the offseason.
Yeah, that was Felgren. It was the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, was that off the record?
Was that off the record or on the record as he's telling the story on the record up the radio?
That he had
if you don't know if it was off the record, then
let
you've
me know
to
what
assume.
You, yeah, but, let me know what you get,
it's
and
not
we'll
surprising
see.
To me that he would talk to him just
no.
to feel him out, you know? What the hell? If they love each other so much, I would think that that line of communication
well,
would
but
be open.
Well, they love each other as much as they claim they do. They're probably talking a lot more
right.
than Incognito and Martin,
right?
1,100 texts.
Right.
But that's kind of my point is like, okay, so what's changed since then? He's gone to another team, gotten paid quite a bit of money up front, and been cut. So now all of a sudden he's willing to come here for less money?
Well, he has no other choice
well,
if he doesn't
yeah.
get claimed.
And everybody's trying to say that he can stick it to other teams. You know,
conditions
you play the Ravens.
For him, he's beggars can't be choosers.
Now, the question
or
is
you could just win back-to-back Super Bowls.
If he wants, to play, he, you
but
know.
That's conditions have changed for him. But the question is also,
have
the conditions changed
here.
For the Patriots in that, well, now we've seen him play this year and, you know.
And, oh, by the way, Gregory has been a better player than
right.
he was last year. And
right.
I think that's accurate. I think
but you still don't have depth. Because
no.
your Wilson signing didn't work,
no.
and sort of depends on what you think of Daron Harmon.
Well, that's the thing I think needs to be ingrained into his head is that you come here, you're going to be depth.
He has to accept
unless
his role.
Unless you start playing like the Ed Reed of old,
right.
you're going to be depth.
But Andy's
now,
right.
Could,
you don't know if he accepts the role until
now,
he gets here.
Now, could McCourty flip flop and could he play closer to the line? And
I don't personally think so.
Would
you
want?
So?
Would you want that?
I don't know.
I don't think that's his strength,
yeah.
and I also think a guy
if
who's
Ed Reed is playing
well. Ed Reed's not playing like Ed Reed. Eliminate that. Is he capable? Can he play? Is what you're hoping for. He's not playing like Ed Reed. One safety's better than two down to blah, 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 blah.
I think McCourty is more – obviously, he's a former cornerback, and I don't think that lends itself to playing closer
shoulder.
To the line of scrimmage. Right.
With a bum shoulder, I mean, who he had operated on and then was on the injury report again.
He's a
with
good
bad
tackler,
shoulder.
And he's physical. He is physical, but I don't think he's an in-the-box kind of safety. I think he's, like Eric said – the other part of it that I worry about is, you know, like Andy just talked about the, you know, the one safety is better than two thing. And we know he's not that guy anymore physically, but I think a lot of Ed Reed's success is sort of stuff that you wouldn't teach. It's just, he's one of those guys. It's just instincts.
Absolutely.
And I think
like
in order
Troy Polamalu, and we saw last week right. What happens when that doesn't work.
But I think in order to play like that,
he's a roamer.
You need to be on the field all the time. Because how do you have an instinct for what's happening if you're only playing 15 snaps?
Right. Yeah, sure.
You know,
I
think that's another part of this, that he's probably less effective because he doesn't have as much of a feel as he probably once did.
Absolutely. 508-298-0398
is
the hotline, web radio at patriots.com. As far as the fans go, I think it's almost unanimous.
Yeah, everybody wants him.
They've wanted every player that's ever been cut and had a name they knew.
And I think the Patriots are going to get I think he's going to end up here.
Yep.
I think he's going to end up.
You
in,
do?
I do. I think
really?
The Patriots going to end up with him.
Yeah, I do. Oh, I think
you?
Somebody's going to claim him.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get claimed. I don't think he's going to get claimed.
I kind of agree with Paul.
I could see him not getting claimed.
Claim
and
him.
Then there's a little bit of a bidding war.
I'm out.
I don't think there's going to be any bidding
above
war.
Above and beyond the veteran minimum.
Well, then why wouldn't you claim him?
No, then you should
because,
just claim
well,
him.
You're on the hook for a little bit more.
Not
right?
much.
Not really. It's because it's 62 or whatever a game. If he sucks, you cut him. You can cut him again.
Yeah. I don't think there's any bidding war if he doesn't get claimed. I think he'll sign somewhere with the team that he wants to play on.
And that's what he probably prefers.
Right.
To pick whatever
pick,
coach,
pick
team.
Pick my spot.
Sure.
Whatever it may be. Now, did you watch a Gronk video?
The Gronk video?
There's a new one.
I've watched that.
A new one.
The rap one I'm talking
the
about.
The rap video.
No, I haven't. Fred,
Gronk Nation unveiled a new rap video.
Fred just had a very disappointed look on his face. No.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
It's not offensive.
No, it's just...
Is it any good?
No.
See, that's the thing. You know, whether it's whatever, all these things that he's doing, none of them are that good.
It's not really him rapping. He just says a couple things, and there's a rapper. There's is Uno the rapper?
I think so.
I think it might be Uno. Something by Uno.
Pizzeria Uno?
Maybe.
Dose.
But... It's about, you know, and now I'm back and looking to
it's
go.
It's another one
my
of those,
play
yeah, I'm
February.
Back, I can't wait, and working out and coming back. And,
yeah, I hear the criticisms, but I ignore those. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Even Rob Gronkowski is claiming he hears the criticisms?
Something like that.
Does it go to no ends with the lack of respect?
He's
largely considered the greatest tight end in football. Some say, including me, the best they've ever seen.
Right.
And he hears the criticism.
Well, speaking of straw man arguments, I won't say who, but somebody in the organization comes into my office yesterday and goes, everybody's saying this Carolina thing's going to be a walkover. No one's even thinking it's going to be a tough match. I'm like, who? Who is saying that?
He did. I give him credit. He goes, that's a straw man argument. And I go, and he knows the straw man well.
who is saying that? The straw man in your office?
People are thinking the Patriots are going to walk over Carolina or the other
way
around.
They're looking past Carolina. Easy game.
I have to be honest. I haven't heard anybody say that.
No.
Only one guy has.
I've heard people say Carolina could win the game, and I've heard people say the Patriots.
But
we do, we call it Rave Rondillo.
I haven't heard anybody say that it's going to be a walkover.
And I said, who is saying this? Well, people.
He did. That's all he said. It was very funny.
He's a funny guy.
All right. What else we got? We got people on the line, but anything else we want to put on the table before that?
No.
It's interesting. Martin, you brought up Incognito and Martin. I guess Jeffrey Ross was – is that his name?
Stephen
Ross. I'm thinking of the comedian. Stephen Ross was supposed to talk with – Martin today, and then the NFL was going to talk with him Friday. NFL said, whoa, wait a minute. We get him first. So Miami stepped back, and I guess they're going to talk with – Martin's going to talk with the NFL first, and then they'll go from there. So that's the development there for what that's worth.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Big, tough NFL. Ooh, now we're going to step in. No, right. You're not going to talk to him first.
Oh, one other side note. Laquan Williams is being sued for an altercation outside a strip club.
Right.
Laquan.
It happened in June.
Yeah.
I guess they just filed charges in November.
No charges. No charges. No charges filed. This is simply a lawsuit.
Yeah, a lawsuit, I mean. Yeah,
well,
they filed a lawsuit.
I think it's important to note that there were no charges.
There were no
filed.
Charges. At
and
the
actually, I believe one of the co-defendants is a cop. They're being sued by two bouncers, essentially, at a strip club who escorted he and a large entourage out of 30 people out. But they're suing for like $8 million or something ridiculous.
I got into a big brawl on a tape with bouncers. I should sue them. I think the statute of limitations, though, is over.
It's probably. What was this brawl over?
30 years
Cape
ago.
Cod brawl? A tea time at the country club.
It was at Puffer Bellies.
Were you late? I had an altercation at Puffer
Bellies. Well, those bouncers at Puffer Bellies, they get, they
actually,
they
do puff your bellies out.
I had the opposite experience with the bouncers. The bouncer had every right to toss me out on my head and did not.
Really?
When I was stealing a shirt off the off the wall. And the guy comes over and looks, and I just looked up. I go, I'm going. And he started laughing. He goes, okay.
What shirt were you stealing?
It was like a T-shirt. Let's just put it this way.
You were yelling science?
I'm going.
You know how you guys thought I was in San Diego?
That's how you were.
I was about 100 times worse than that.
But you were still sane enough or sober enough to say, I'm going.
He wasn't sober.
Oh, I wasn't even close to sober.
That's
was,
a good
you know
line.
That like
I'm
that
going.
That lattice
it
work.
It was Miller heavy that night.
Oh yeah, there were a lot of Millers that night. You know the lattice work that like on the side, and they had like a T-shirt that was like stapled to it.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
That's a pretty cool T-shirt. And I'm like pop a couple of staples off, and I'm like, can't be that many. Poop, poop. You know, this went on for like 5 minutes, and I've had it down to like one staple. And I turn around, and the guy goes, look, he's just looking at me, and I'm like, I'm going.
One staple.
It was a bachelor party about 25 years ago.
That's good.
Maybe 20 years ago.
All right. I guess we'll head to the phones then.
Okay.
Get it going right away, huh?
If you Laquana.
Mike is in Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Now, I know we already talked about the defense yesterday, and I'm sorry to bring it up again, but how do you think Gronkowski specifically is going to pair up with the Carolina linebackers?
Well, I don't think it'll just be the linebackers. I mean, Thomas Davis is the most interesting matchup, I think, because as a safety slash linebacker slash athlete. But Gronk is not a matchup. There's no such matchup. I mean, you're talking about Brackett. You're talking about, Mitchell is, I think, their safety and Davis, or Mitchell and Kuechly. And it's going to be a combination of guys. And if they don't, then they're going to lose. I mean, that's flat out. We saw that last week, and I think we'll see that every week.
So they won't make the mistake Pittsburgh made, for sure.
Well, I don't think you can do, even if you had Aqib Talib, say the Patriots played the Patriots. Do you think the Patriots would match Aqib Talib up with Rob Gronkowski?
No way.
Is he going to be physical? Is he going to out-physical Gronkowski like he out-physicaled Graham? Hell no.
Well,
so you're going to lose.
They did do it with Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, but it's a totally different player. You're talking about a wide receiver tight end who showed himself what Fred would refer to as a pussy in that matchup.
And all that.
Yeah.
Now, he may have been hurt, but there is nobody on the planet, in my opinion, who can match up one-on-one with Rob Gronkowski with any consistency. No one on the planet.
Well, okay. Well, then do you think he'll be successful?
Yes.
Who pairs up with him?
I think Gronk will have a pretty good game, yes.
I don't think anybody is capable of holding Gronkowski down. I know that's a lot of criticism that Gronk is hearing.
But if they
use your system of bracketing or whatever, can they be successful limiting Gronkowski?
Yes, and therefore opening up stuff for other people. That is the value of Gronk. It is a can't-win situation for the defense. Either he gets his or the other guys get theirs.
And then it's up to Tom Brady to see the field.
And that's assuming the other guys take advantage. I mean, you can still get drops and you can still get injuries and Amendola's out and things snowball, but the inherent problem for a defense with Gronkowski is he either beats you with his catches or he beats you with the coverage you take toward him to make sure he doesn't beat you with his catches.
Right.
It's the old Belichick thing. You can take anything away, but at what cost?
At what cost?
And that's what made it even so much more explosive when Hernandez was here.
Right.
You know?
And the more those guys take advantage, it's why some of us believe Hernandez was riding coattails.
Yeah.
I'll say that now.
And then one last side question. Do you guys know when
I never know if
the Patriots are going to wear their red throwback unis?
They are not going to this year.
Oh, why not?
It's a helmet thing. They don't have the second helmet. There's a new...
The NFL's committee on safety or health safety, the neck upper body... committee safety said that
it's
some convoluted name for that this committee
they don't want teams using
two different
it's actually
helmets.
NORAD
and there are they,
75% of all my Patriots stuff, which is like insane.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of people are disappointed, and a lot of teams have used the throwbacks anyway. But
what
the
about
Patriots
the
are not.
Alternate red jersey with
we
the current
we don't
logo?
Have, we don't have
we don't
that.
Have
I thought
that
we
yet.
Did.
I've been asking for it for 5 years. We don't have it.
I thought we had that.
And we can't do it because we're there's all those windows, like 5 year windows. It's like we couldn't change the script on the jersey.
Right, right.
So, well, Andy, I hope you get your wish with those red unis because they're awesome. I'm out, guys. Have a great show.
I think that would be a huge seller. I think it's a can't miss in the pro shop.
Oh, I do too.
Because you can still sell the throwbacks as simply throwbacks.
Right.
But then you have a red jersey to see. You're
which
adding
is your
inventory.
Alternate. Because right now that alternate was that silver thing.
Right.
Awful.
I don't think we technically even have an alternate.
I don't think
they got rid of. They got rid of the silver one.
So that's what they need to do. I think it's just a matter of the timing and the when you can
I
do
agree.
It.
And
but
teams,
the head thing is stupid. I mean, does every player in Oregon have a bad head problem? Because they change their helmet every week.
No, but I think they do that wrap, the heat wrap.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Really?
They have some dramatic changes. Now, maybe you're right, but I find it hard to believe all these college teams are using the same helmet.
I would just
helmet.
Say if they do, then that's a pretty easy fix then because they're able to use a different helmet every week. So why not do that?
Why not just do that?
And like I said, a lot of teams have used throwback uniforms this year. I don't know if they're all different helmets or not.
I don't think they were because the Bears wore the throwbacks, but all the Bears had to do was take off the C and change the face mask from dark blue to gray.
Now,
and they had their throwbacks.
Like I said, I don't know if they're using wraps, but
Pittsburgh, so why can't we use wraps?
Pittsburgh has a black helmet. Their throwback was yellow. So
didn't the Packers wear those weird ones too?
Packers had
Packers
a different
did
helmet
too. Yeah.
Now again, they could be wraps. Like,
but
Eric
why can't
is saying,
we use
I don't
wraps?
Know. That's
right,
what I'm asking.
Right. I don't know. Let's see.
We need Penn Flanders. Is he available?
Dave is in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey guys, how are we doing today?
Good.
You know, I'm just sitting there and listening about the you know the Ed Reed thing, and I definitely agree with what you're saying. You know, everyone's saying. I think you know if he passes through waivers, the Pats should you know kick the tires. You know, I know Belichick's been in love with him forever, but it's an issue of how much he has left in the tank. I agree with both of you guys. You know, everyone's saying, you know, I think, you know, he'd be a good insurance policy, you know, for Gregory, you know, because Gregory has had a good year this year. Here's a name that I don't know what his contract situation is, but I know, we always like that big, strong, you know, strong safety kind of guy like Rodney Harrison, you know, the banger. What about Sean Taylor? I know he, you know, played that last year for the Jets. I don't even know where he ended up. But, you know, he seems to be a pretty
LaRon Landry,
pretty violent
talking
guy
about?
Back there.
Yeah. Sean Taylor is the
he's
guy
dead.
That killed.
Sean Taylor
he's
died.
Yeah. You're talking about LaRon Landry.
LaRon Landry, I think, is who you're talking about.
I'm sorry. Right,
yeah.
Right.
He's
Sean Taylor died. Whoops.
Yeah. When you said the Jets, I thought I knew who you meant.
He's a corpse at this point.
I mean, Tavon Martin's not that good, but, you know, I think he's still better than Sean Taylor.
To talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by.
Yeah, he's Andy's right. He's on the Colts.
Yeah, he's on the Colts.
Oh, he came back. Hey, nice. That's good. But here's a couple other questions for you. When is Gronkowski going to grow up a little bit here? You know, I was reading, you know, he put his foot in his mouth again, made some comment about some Oriental guy.
Whoa. Asian. Speaking of putting your foot in your mouth, you can't call them Orientals.
Yeah.
You're Asians.
Anyway.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, there you go.
I knew what you meant.
But,
you want to start this call over? Give us a call back in like 5 minutes.
Dave, I'm with you. I speak, Dave. I'm with you.
So I mean, he's not going to grow up. He is. He's not going to grow up.
Well, I think it's partly his problem, and I also think it's partly he's still have the influence of his brothers, and they want to still be part of
it. Screw the brothers. It's the father. Don't take the father off the
hook. No, but listen, the brothers want to be part of the act.
I think it's all him.
You know what it is? To me, it's like...
I don't hate him. I think this is what he wants to do.
The Kardashians of the NFL.
Right. Well...
You know what I mean? And he's Kim, and they're all riding his coattails.
That's
true.
Oh, that's absolutely
true. Kims, but, you know, and they're all riding his coattails.
I agree.
I think he... You know, I know the Patriots kind of asked him back in 2012 to settle down a little bit. You know, and I'm not, you know, a huge, you know, criminal offense. But, you know, the fan, and I love the guy, you know, it's like, Rob, just play football, bro. You know, you're such a monster on the field that.
Yeah, but if he just does that, then all these guys don't get to be part of Gronk Nation.
Why?
all the brothers and
but
all
I think
that
you're
stuff.
Missing out on the fact that this is what he wants to do.
It might
I think,
be.
I think he gets let off
well,
the hook.
You know, if those people, if his family cared more, they would say, you know what, focus on football.
Yeah,
but they,
I will
you
agree
know,
with Dave, though, you know, the whole riding the coattails thing.
Did
the,
Dave
the whole,
just fade out?
The whole phenomenon of the Gronk family, the like this football family, they, we wouldn't even know who Dan and Chris were.
No, God,
if not
no.
for
no.
Rob.
No.
Right. They'd just be these two brothers with the long name that people right. would. Are they even brothers? We wouldn't right. even really know about them.
Oh, right. yeah.
Rob is the one that put the family on the map. That's, I right. totally agree with
but
Dave.
That, yeah, that's that. The Kardashian comparison perfect.
Absolutely. Here's a question back to Ed Reed. Is it a good, you know, we've said that he's always been kind of a whiner when he doesn't get what he wants. Is the fact that he was still whining right up to the end a good sign? Because if he had kind of lost confidence in himself, he'd be quiet and just collect his money. But the fact that he was still whining, playing time, the whole thing, is that a good sign that he still has that confidence in his own abilities?
No.
Not to me.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know all the details of his situations, but eye-opening to me is making a stink during a season that you go to the Super Bowl. And they were good. Now, even though they were struggling down the stretch last year, and maybe he had reason, and he was talking about, I guess, the padded practices and whining about that stuff with Harbaugh. Maybe he had a beef, and they were struggling at the time, and maybe he thought that was why. I don't know. But then you go to this year, and he wasn't playing. That, to me, is the eye-opening part.
Right.
He probably would have been cut out of camp the way Adrian Wilson was if he was healthy at the time.
Because if you're Houston,
he
you're
missed
make
all
every
camp.
Effort to get him on the field.
Like
right?
you didn't see, yeah. you didn't see him like Adrian Wilson performed throughout the preseason, and then they put him on IR. Ed Reed was on not on PUP, but he was on PUP during preseason, and didn't get an opportunity to show that he couldn't play anymore. Otherwise, I think he may have been gone a long time ago. And then to say you got out coached. The week when your coach is coming off a stroke and he didn't even coach the game?
Right. That's a little harsh.
Come on.
Yeah.
That doesn't leave a sour taste in anybody's mouth?
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah. That is kind of Bush. It's
Bush is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I understand. Listen, he's frustrated. I get it. Like I said, I think the guy's great. I think he's great. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But at the same time, the whole notion of veteran leader to me, he hasn't reeked veteran leadership in a couple of years to me. Seems like he's the opposite. He's a clubhouse lawyer to me.
Yep. Let's see.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Emailer writes in, my name is Amr from the Bay Area, California. I wanted to say a couple things. Oh, it's a long email.
I'll go up to Ed, big fan.
I'll just read a couple. He says, this is by far the best sports show, including podcasts, television, magazines, anything, period. You've explained why you cannot be on 5 days a week during previous shows, but still, I wish I could hear all of your insightful commentaries every day. This show is what keeps me sane in a football sense during this off season, and definitely during those rare yet painful weeks after a loss. Keep up the good work.
Add that to the list of
Here's
emails
how we
sent
do
to
it.
The front office.
Here's how we do it, peeps. If every listener to this show paid $49.95 a year, we will do 5 shows. Is that okay, Fred?
Yep.
No, that way we can get rid of PFW.
Suddenly we became PBS and we're on our drive. Right? And we'll throw in a tote bag and this CD
and a
full of crap
Griffey
music.
Jr. rookie card. No, I'm telling you, if you paid $49.95,
hey dadgum,
that's the subscription price for PFW, right?
Yep.
And that makes up the what we lose for the paper, and we can do
the
show full time.
I'll read this story because it has to do with the Jets. He says, during week 9. I was visiting my friend in San Diego. I brought my Brady jersey with me because I have to wear it on each and every day that the Patriots play. Every single bar and restaurant was packed, and I thought I'd be the odd person out wearing a football jersey, but I was pleasantly surprised that virtually everyone in the bar and restaurants on the street was wearing a jersey of one team or another. Anyway, now the funny, maddening part of the story. Trying to find a place that we could sit, my friend suggested we walk into this pub. As we walk in, I realize every single person in this place was wearing a Jets jersey. I look around, and there was Jets flags, banners, every piece of fanfare that you could imagine. Keep in mind, I'm wearing my Brady jersey and a Patriots hat to boot. The entire place turns to me and starts yelling expletives and telling me I'm in the wrong place. Even this older woman, probably in her early 60s, who was probably a sweet grandma outside of this pub, flipped me off for no reason at all.
Probably not.
To make it worse, they were up on the Saints at the point, making them feel brave. I walked out of the pub with my friends and looked at the sign and realized it had been changed from Henry's Pub to San Diego's home of the San Diego Jets fans for the football season. I was disgusted. I prayed that the Jets would lose so I could stick it to them after the game, but the Saints couldn't pull it out. Fred, I immediately thought of you and wish we could have slapped all of those Jets fans together. I would have been right with you, buddy. Anyway, so and he's got his girlfriend gave him tickets to the Broncos game, so he'll be here for the
Broncos.
Oh,
nice.
So that's great. There are a lot of San Diego Patriots. I think Sonny McClain's out in San Diego is a big Patriots bar.
I'm in a bit of a feud online with the Jets fans, by the way, Fred.
Oh, yeah?
They are not happy with the team's ranking in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Really?
Well, they're like 26th or something.
Oh, that's about right.
And they're 5-4. And
Fred, I thought you'd like that.
I just like the fact that Jets fans are looking at Patriots.com for the power rankings.
Well, I
wouldn't even pay them a single
Guy called me an effing this and effing that.
That's a Jets fan.
But then he followed me. Well, why are you following me then, you moron?
I have
If I were Eric, I would have blocked like 10 people yesterday.
There's a guy that absolutely hates me. You guys have gas face? On Twitter, follow you.
I have gas ass.
Absolutely hates me. He probably listens to the show. He absolutely hates me.
I think I blocked him.
Every time I put anything, the Patriots just won. You know, there's Paul being negative again. He just hates me, no matter what I write.
He's on to me.
but yet, he follows me. So, I don't know. And I'm not going
to. Jackie Britton wants to come on the show,
him.
Fred.
What?
I think Jackie Britton wants to come on the show.
When?
I don't know. She's standing right there. We don't have time today, do we?
No time for you.
If she just wants to fit in, I'm not going to do an interview with her. But if she wants to come in,
you got
to
get in where you fit in.
She can join right in. She can join in on the festivities.
We say, Dad Gum is. Will that make?
She can come right in here.
Why do you? Why are you stealing?
How are those Bulldogs doing?
Hey!
What?
Mark has a quick question.
You're gonna get smacked
about uniforms.
You're going to get smacked across the mouth if you say that.
Why?
Do you know how to use your box?
Sorry.
Mark has a quick question about uniforms. Why isn't
your box is on?
Why isn't the new typographic logo on the jerseys?
Because you can't make that change because we made another change. I don't know, some stupid NFL rule.
Yeah, next year I think they'll be able to redo the jerseys with that. It's a whole. I mean, Nike makes these jerseys and they don't want to automatically have them go out of, not be able to sell them.
Well, I think the biggest thing is they do a bunch of like blanks or whatever.
Yeah.
So they'd have to go back and redo those.
Right.
They do them all up and then add the numbers and the names, but they all have that thing, and there might be, you know, some sweatshop in somewhere in the
Somalia,
Middle East.
Right.
Hey, Jackie, how you
Not
doing?
Hey, good. So what was your beef with me coming on here? What'd you say?
No, I said as long as you just want to fit in, I'm not going to sit there and just interview you, obviously.
You're not that interesting.
We don't have time for that.
I would hope that you don't.
Now, you're better
by
than
By the way,
B-Low,
so you know the you know the best of gallery that we did?
Yeah, by the by.
By the by.
Yeah.
I want to know why my selection for best offseason move, which was reacquiring Aqib Talib, did not beat out the LeGarrette Blount.
I did bring that up, and it was poo-pooed.
Yeah,
it was
why? Poo-pooed. By everybody on here?
Eric wasn't here.
Paul and Andy poo-pooed it.
Why?
As did Bilo.
Because I felt re-signing
the
player. No, Bilo
did not poo-poo it.
Bilo is a wuss.
He,
so
he
when
was
you're
like,
around,
you know what?
He
no,
probably says he agreed.
Like, he was like, you know what? That's a really good point. I'm going to call Fred right now. And Fred could not have been less interested.
So little background on the by-the-by. Best offseason move we had was the Jeff Demps, LeGarrette Blount.
I don't want the explanation why we poo-pooed
trade.
Also,
Jackie had the suggestion, well, wasn't it re-signing Talib?
Yeah.
And it's a good point. And these guys poo-pooed it.
And so did you.
Why? Is it because,
really,
is it because he had so many other...
You
we
didn't
had
really re-sign him.
No.
I mean, you just brought back a guy on a low-money, prove-it deal. He clearly didn't have very many options, and it just kind
of... But don't you think that's valuable enough?
No, I think that if you're asking who's more important, obviously Talib is the right answer. Our feeling was re-signing a guy who was already on the team doesn't qualify as an off-season move. That's all.
Well, I was technically,
Jackie, you are correct.
And I technically would have given them more credit if they had deemed him a number one corner and given him
a five-year, $50 million deal. 5 for $50, I think I might have looked at it differently.
I would have said, wow, they wanted him, they knew he was great, and they kept him.
He did make a lot of the other categories, adding a player to your
Jackie,
team.
Jackie, they just didn't think of it. So
No.
Well, he did make a lot of the other categories, so I was like, obviously this guy is...
And that's another reason, and that's why I did
buy a woman.
Right. There's always that.
No, just what Jackie just said.
I don't know.
He showed up in a lot of other categories. That was part of the
reason
why.
Is it puffed or is it stuffed? You're not a woman.
I'm just making a joke. What did you say? Nothing. See, now look what you've done.
Just so you know, you're far ahead of Ian Rappaport on the knowledge meter.
Is Todd Christensen in the news today? Something happened.
So I have a really great salad that's waiting on me right now. So I came in here
salad?
To say hey.
There's no such thing as a great salad.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I've got like
is there buffalo chicken
sausage.
And bacon on top of it?
I've got chicken sausage
sounds
in
like
it.
A great
had bacon
salad to
this
me.
Morning. Thank you very much.
Chicken sausage?
Yeah, like chicken
never
sausage.
Heard, yeah, I've never
it's
heard
just
of that.
Seasoned yeah. chicken.
It's what?
You want to eat my salad?
Chicken.
No, it's sausage.
I know, but they make it into a sausage with seasoning.
With
peppers,
well,
avocado.
Well, all sausage has seasoning.
Right.
But it's like.
There's turkey sausage. There's chicken sausage.
Right.
There's yeah. sausage sausage.
Right.
Wait, what's sausage
pork
sausage? Sausage? Right. You take sausage and then put it inside more sausage?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife, she'll
right,
fool me.
It's seasoned
she'll,
pork.
She'll make the spaghetti with turkey meatballs. And
yeah,
that.
My wife's
I have turkey
that.
Meatballs,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. She's also,
I don't like that.
My wife's oh. also now doing the Seinfeld's wife thing where she like mushes up
Man,
like
shoot.
Carrots and puts them in meatballs.
Man, shoot.
Trying to hide vegetables on me.
Yeah, you want
to
eat my salad?
They were actually
no.
pretty good last night.
Is the answer to that question?
Toss it?
Well, it was a general question. I mean,
got screw it. You, bitch.
Let's go to the phones quickly. Chris with a T-I-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Say hello to Jackie.
Hi Jackie, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
All right.
Okay, I'm a big fan.
Oh, stop creeping it up.
Settle it down,
Chris. Making me uncomfortable. Keep it in your
yeah,
pants.
Yeah, because Andy doesn't make things uncomfortable
I know,
at all.
I
when?
You know,
we're
not
going
to hang around with 10-year-olds, so don't mind Andy. But there's a lot of reasons why we listen to this show. And yesterday's show about the whole dog, and now today with Paul's story about the shirt and the strip joint is about as good as it gets.
Christian, you've been in that situation. Don't lie. You've done something
sure,
stupid.
Thanks. You know, absolutely. We're all young and stupid once.
So yeah. Why don't we say that for Gronk?
Well,
why is it young and
you
stupid
know,
when Paul does it, but when Gronk
once
does it,
in his case, it's
because
all the time.
I would like to think if I was in his situation, I wouldn't have been trying to take a shirt off a wall.
But you might have been.
No, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been.
You and Rich out there being crazy and
everything. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been.
I think Gronk gets a bad rap.
I can't keep up with your
no, I am annoyed with him. I am annoyed with him and he needs to say no.
He doesn't get a bad rap. He recorded a bad rap.
Yes. But he needs to say no. That's the bottom line. Just learn the two-letter word. No.
That's true. He, like you said yesterday, you know, we're going to give you $4,000 to do something. And he's like, okay, I'll do it.
Right. I mean,
just say no sometimes.
What's
grand.
Enough is enough. Bucks. You don't need
he's
anything.
He's got five brothers
or
to support.
Or just control yourself.
That's the problem.
Right. Well.
That is the problem, yeah.
He's just having fun. He doesn't hurt anybody.
Two of which are in the NFL and another plays pro baseball. I mean, he doesn't really have to support
no,
the five brothers.
In terms of celebrity, he has to support
you know what I mean.
The celebrity.
I don't mean yeah. literally.
Again,
you,
you
know
guys
I mean.
Continue to act as if he doesn't, well, like he does these things like he's a hostage. He doesn't want to
well,
do
no,
them.
No, we're mad at him.
Watch him while he's doing them. He's clearly enjoying
I know,
but none of this
and
has
and
to do with celebrity.
I agree.
For
the
them,
red
it
card.
Is.
No. Going to the ESPYs, okay, you've latched on to Gronk. He got the invite. The brothers are coming. That's celebrity. But doing a Bar Louie watch football with.
No, but it's yeah. promoting the Gronk Nation.
Yeah, he did
stuff,
die, Paul. When they put that
oh,
second
Todd
number
Christian's
after 1956.
Died.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That's never a good thing.
There's nothing on Twitter about it, though. Oh. That's he's young.
Not,
that's
not
young,
trending.
That's young today.
Although with today's media, yeah. you never know if it's true. You know,
well, ESPN
an
has
hour
it.
From now,
it feels
we could,
pretty
yeah.
true. Although he played
Although
for the
what,
Raiders, right?
Yeah, you better hope.
Anything else, Christian?
Did Pro Football Talk report it?
Yeah.
I just had a quick question about Carolina and yeah. the offense that they run because I haven't watched like you know pretty much any of the games this year. With Newton as quarterback, is it more of a traditional offense or do they run some pistol? And I'll leave you guys with that. Thanks.
It's not a traditional offense. It's pistol, some read option. You know, I was reading a lot of it. The hell was that?
Just hung up.
A lot of the they're doing a lot of that package stuff where he has like a it's a simple play with a run pass option and different things. It's not a traditional offense by any means.
Who's the coordinator? Offensive coordinator?
It's the head. Wait, who's the head coach?
No, Ron Rivera.
Ron
is
Rivera.
So is it?
No. No, Chichinsky
no,
is the head coach of the
in
Browns.
Cleveland.
I don't know.
Oh, I have the release in front of me. I should probably look at it.
Paul, you did the.
Ooh, you got a nice.
Yeah, I don't know
I've
who
had
the
these mine on my computer. That's a nice fancy one. How'd you get that?
I know people.
They're in the media working.
Yeah, sure. All right. Well, I appreciate
is our
appreciate
buddy
y'all
Jeff
having
Davidson
me on
there?
Here, but I'm gonna go eat.
You're gonna leave?
That's all right.
Okay.
I've got to eat. I
you
mean,
just
it's
got
only
here.
It's only bad news for you if I don't eat and I stay here.
Okay.
Why,
blood
cranky?
Sugar goes
just
crazy.
Just trust me. Yeah, I get grumpy.
When you're cranky. You're always.
But this has been fun.
That is sweaty and grumpy. That's how I would describe
you. You literally
sweaty and grumpy.
That would be true.
You only wanted to come down and yell at us for not taking your.
No, I really just came down to get silverware and then figured I'd come by and say hey.
Mike Shula.
Mike,
this is what happens when she gets hungry.
Bye.
relive thanks, your Jackie. Favorite Patriots memories at the Hall at Patriot Jackie. Place, presented by Patheon.
Presented by Patheon.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Rob's in New York. Hey, Rob.
Mike. Shue.
Hey, fellas, what do you say there? How's it going today?
Good.
It's going all right.
Cold up here. Freezing today. It's like
freaking freezing here too.
What part of New York you in?
Up in Albany.
Up in Albany. Okay. There used to be a place up there that had it was a
it
motel.
Arrested, it's still open. You said
it's still open.
Open
right. While it was called the Traveler's Motel, and all the rooms had their own jacuzzi.
Yeah, wow. Kirsch, you know, we got those places up here. You pay $5 when you're going in and $35 when you're going out.
Right.
I don't know, what, something, you know, whatever.
Right.
Did you use the jacuzzi, if you know what I'm saying?
No, not in that way.
I've heard
I know
it floats.
Jackie's got to be glad she's out of there. I mean, having Eric around a woman, I mean, he's on a longer dry spell than the Jaguars, and at least they got laid last weekend. Hey.
Oh.
He gave himself a little, hey. You're lucky you're not on Twitter. You'd be blocked right now.
Hey, well, forget about it. Hey, I might just get a Twitter so you can block me. Be like Twitty Litter there. You know what I'm saying? Twitty.
What is with this accent?
My name there.
Yeah, that's not an Albany accent.
I don't know where it's at. I'm not from Albany. I don't like Albany that much here. But anyway, look, guys, this is what I'm talking about.
We like
you very
much.
Calling you guys because this whole Gronk thing. If you guys watch this Gronk Nation thing, this thing is ridiculous. He's going out here. If you just put in a Gronkowski and Uno there in YouTube and watch it. I mean, this guy needs to be practicing more than he's rapping. This stuff, he's going out here and all these highlights he's showing, he's not even making touchdowns in the highlights. Whoever edited this probably went to the ex-Scalavino School of Editing and whatnot.
Wow.
But, I mean, this thing is like...
He doesn't like you, Eric, I think.
All right, no, yeah, we get mutual. The point. Thanks for the call, Rob.
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
See, I actually completely disagree with what he just said.
Yeah.
I watched it, and I thought the highlight of it was the highlights, and it reminds you how freaking good he is. There was a bunch of highlights of him catching the ball and a safety or a corner with the angle, and he runs around him, and you're like...
Or over them.
Wow, like... I couldn't disagree more with that.
I wonder if they have the rights to use those.
No, they don't.
I'm guessing
they don't have
no.
the rights for anything. They were using Jeff Howe's writing on their website and without his permission, and they weren't linking. They were like cutting, pasting the whole story, putting it on their website, and at the very bottom it would say, like, go to Boston Herald to read this whole story. Well, I just read the whole story on your website.
Wow.
Howe doesn't like it. He was
I think one of the
Well, he should
pieces,
be.
I think one of the pieces of video was actually...
the Herald, by the way.
It was actually KSP video, I think. The one with the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through when he's in the throwback.
Could be.
I think that's KSP video.
Could be.
Well, that could be Dunkin' Donuts video.
They just steal, though. That's all they do. They fly by the seat of their pants.
Well, that's not good.
They'd rather do the ask for permission than
I was actually thinking they go to the Fred Kirsch school of running a website.
Be interesting if this this quest to get like every last dime ends up costing them more in the long run.
They get sued for like a million bucks. Or something. Son of a bitch, we only made $28,000.
Tony in Toronto says, I would pay the $49.95 for you guys to be on the air 5 days a week and would still pay my $20 a year for Patriots football daily.
Fred, get on it.
Pat says, I would easily pay $49.95 a year to have 5 shows a year. I will pay
a year.
All year. Five
shows a week.
A week.
All year.
I will.
And then Andy and I would do the pre and post game shows.
But Pat says he'll also pay $99.95 for you guys to do the show without Eric. So.
Oh. I'm sure Eric would be willing to.
Eric.
Acquiesce.
That's when you need the camera to see Eric's look.
He's thinking, "Where's that block button? Blocked."
Joseph writes in.
You could actually block emailers, right? I mean, if you moved them to like your spam folder.
Yeah, you
move
them to your junk. I know.
I think the guy earlier, by the way, who was saying that the brothers are riding his coattails, he said, you know, and these brothers just riding his coattails. I think he was going to say, you know.
Yeah.
Rhymes with rock.
Begins with a C.
Yes, he was.
Why?
Why? Why?
Because they're riding his.
Why?
Why would he be thinking
I'm
that?
Just,
oh
why
my
would
God,
they turn
now
into something into
his idiotic thoughts on other people.
they
people...
turn it into some like incestual, sexual,
no,
like,
not
nonsensical
in that way.
Thing.
No. It's
that, well, that's not a saying.
Yes, right.
No, it's not.
It?
Yes.
Who says
yes.
that?
When
now
you're...
I'm turning it to Seinfeld. My voice is getting all
that's a saying. I've heard people say that.
I think that's, I don't know.
As a euphemism to riding someone's coattails, they say riding someone's blank?
No, it's a little different. It's kind of massaging him. And not in that way. It's like
maybe
massaging
in the circles that he
ego
runs in.
Right.
That's a common term, but not the,
oh my God.
The rest
I've
of the
never
world.
Heard that sort of connotation.
Not in that context.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Joseph.
Oh, Mike,
it's always on his mind. Always.
Who was it? They were asking on Twitter if you have seen the sex tape. There was a new.
Oh, Trent Richardson supposedly has a sex tape.
Right on the tip of his tongue.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't. I search and I mean,
this damn blue screen popped up.
I haven't had time to. Is it out there? Is it people? Is it available?
I don't know.
I don't know, but he ain't doing anything else.
Yeah. He can't run the length of his sex tape, I'll tell you that.
No, I haven't looked at it.
Unbelievable.
Did you hear Tony going off?
He's
averaging 14 inches per carry.
Joseph writes, and Rob Gronkowski gains more energy from his antics. His play would calm down if you stop him. He's a beast,
How
and
do
the
we
beast
know that?
Needs to eat.
How do we know that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Ed Reed is not our answer. Too much of a risk. We can't afford to lose the chemistry in the secondary.
Yeah, I don't worry about that risk. I don't really. I think if it was the beginning of the year, then I think there's a chance for that to happen. But at this point, I think you've settled.
Yeah.
And if Ed Reed doesn't fit in, you just cut him.
That's
I don't
right.
think there's any risk.
I think you know, you make it really, really, really clear in the outset. And if you have any indication that he's not going to accept that, you don't do it.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, if someone looked like he was going to have a role and then Ed Reed comes in and takes it, now you could do some damage. But now Ed Reed comes in, and if he is being disruptive, it's the seven games left.
Right.
You cut him.
Jeff in FLA, the strawman argument about the Carolina game is coming from Panther media and fans that are strongly playing up they don't give us any respect angle. Also, following yesterday's show, I looked up the Belichick radio interview because Andy claimed the coach was adamant about ritualizing players into a group. The coach was only adamant about not knowing the situation in Miami, and the example Belichick
not
gave
true.
For joining a group was standing up and talking about oneself.
Whatever it may be, I'm all for rites of passage, is what he said. I mean, he said that.
Yeah, he said he's fine with, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And the example he gave was standing up, talking about your family or where you're from or other things like that. He said, now I'm paraphrasing, but obviously there's a limit. There's
right.
a point where you cross it.
Right.
But he said he was all
singing
for rites of passage.
College fight song.
So take the wax out of your ears and listen a little better. Maybe that's why you were hazed as a kid.
Did you hear the story that Christian Fourier told on Monday? I heard Michael Holly talking about it. And I actually heard Christian a little bit Monday when we were leaving. When Christian was in Seattle,
Brock, oh, is this the Brock Huard
Brock
story?
Huard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you hear this, Freddie?
I don't think so.
Brock Huard was a rookie, and you know,
but we did see Brock Huard's sex tape.
Probably. Well, I'm pretty sure there's not one of those. But Damon Huard was
Huard gets
you know, later here, and evidently, wow,
he's unbelievable.
Evidently, those two guys are not anything.
And he doesn't
alike.
Think that there's any problem with himself.
No, he thinks like everybody else.
Right.
Like everybody else was thinking, riding his coattails, he was going to say
right.
rhymes with rock.
Right.
Like everybody thinks that.
Right.
Like I'm not the only one who thinks that. He was going to say it.
Right.
Anyway.
That guy needs to call back.
No, he doesn't.
Anyway, Brock Huard evidently was a very conservative guy, sort of, soft-spoken, spiritual guy. And as a rookie, he said Fourier was talking to someone and, you know, every other word was bad. You know, it was basically the way he said it. And he came over as a rookie and said, I'd appreciate it if you guys could clean up your language as a rookie.
Right.
And they just, like, went on for, like, 5 minutes and made it, you know, 100 right. times worse than it was.
Right.
And he goes, looking back, he goes, we probably could have handled that a little bit differently.
But that's how most people are going to handle it. If a rookie walks up and
right.
says, stop swearing, they're going to say, how about you bleep, bleep, bleep,
right.
bleep, 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 bleep me.
Rookies, you know, they have to earn kind of the right to have a say. I get that.
Especially a dramatic say.
Yeah.
I mean, you know people curse. You know people swear. You...
Right. I get that. Nick in Victoria says, I wanted to start by saying Fred had the line of the day yesterday. It's listener radio. Thanks, Freddie. I had no idea. I meant listener-driven radio, but I might have left out the word driven.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Well, we did it with Christian earlier in this show. We're the only show that has callers that, like, get lost in the background. Like, they
all
don't
right,
get their
I'll talk to you guys later.
And he just like, yeah, I'm done. Okay, you're not
right.
going to listen. I'm gone.
My question is, why do I keep checking NFL.com to see if we sign Ed Reed? Do you think he'll be as good of a fit with this team as I do? I just feel the young secondary could really use someone with his experience. Yeah, he's slower, but I feel with the loss of the leaders on D, the young secondary needs someone to point them in the right direction.
Is it a young secondary?
We don't really have a young secondary. Dennard's the only young guy.
Arrington, McCourty, Talib, Gregory, yeah. they're all mid-career
well,
veterans.
If you consider Harmon.
I mean, Ryan and
Harmon.
Ryan and Harmon play, but they're both
you know, in reserves.
Yeah. I mean, every team has rookies every year.
Dennard's in his second year. At this point, you know, Bill likes to say, you know,
not a rookie.
Not a rookie.
And if Harmon plays, he's playing next to your captain.
But even I'll give you Dennard as one young guy. The other guys have played a lot of, they've gotten a lot of starts.
There comes the
And
apple.
Like I said, if.
Why don't you do that when Jackie was here?
Who was that emailer?
I didn't have to.
What?
Who's the emailer that just said that about Reed?
I don't know.
It was
Nick and Victoria.
If he's right, if Nick is right, I'm all for it. I'm on board with Nick. If he can be that guy, if he can be that guy that helps the, you know, some of the other guys around him, if he can sort of accept that leadership role, I haven't been overly impressed with Ed Reed's leadership, at least on the outside.
Right. Why do we think he's such a great leader?
But if he can be that guy, then I'm on board with you guys, and I want him.
Plus,
if
he can have a little of the Ted Williams thing to him.
Yeah.
I mean, as you talked about, he's a freelancer, he kind of instincts.
I absolutely think
you can't teach instincts.
Right.
He is what he is, and he's unique. And
right.
No, he probably told James to head a bowl the other day.
Right.
Just get back here and stay in here and then just knock it down. And the head of bowl couldn't do it. He knocked it up.
They tried to have Ted Williams be the batting coach for the Red Sox. He couldn't figure out why everyone couldn't bat 400.
Right. Why they can't
hit. I did it. Why can't you?
But it'd be like Brandon Spikes. Are you going to ask him to be your middle linebacker coach? No, because he doesn't do things the way they want him to.
Sean in Vancouver writes in, I'm really looking forward to the game Monday night. It should be the best one of the year. Carolina is for real. They're the hottest team in the NFC and have been playing shutdown defense over the last five games. The Panthers can run the ball, and that's where they'll attack New England, including scrambles from Newton. The Patriots put things together offensively against the Steelers, but Pittsburgh couldn't stop the run, and that opened up the passing game. I know New England won't have the same success this week, even with Vereen playing, but I also feel they need the same balanced approach. I'd love to see an offensive alignment that includes Vereen, Ridley, Gronk, Amendola, and Dobson. That way they can go hurry up, slow things down with the run, take advantage of matchups, and have big gains with the quick screen. The Panthers are too good to be predictable. Against the Steelers, the Patriots finally stuck with Ridley as he is running better than Blunt and Bolden right now. I think the New England needs their most talented players on the field most of the time. I'm not saying they should sit Human, Edelman, Bolden, Blount, etc. I just think that they have a more explosive, talented team than when Vereen, Ridley, Amendola, Gronk, and Dobson are on the field. We don't know. They've never been on the field together, really. All those guys together?
Gronk has never been out there. Yeah, the week one you had all of them but Gronk, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So but he's right. Also calling for more of the two-back look.
Yeah.
If he wants Ridley and Vereen on the field at the same time.
With Gronk on the field, you can run, you know?
Right, but, I mean, isn't he including Ridley and Vereen in a lot of those?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different look for this team if they were to go 50%.
But we did see that in training
snaps.
Camp. We saw,
But as a change of pace, not as a, this is our offense.
Yeah, you know, it's, I want to add something on Ed Reed. And, listen, it's very anecdotal, but, like, NFL Network is showing some video and stuff. The Texans played the Ravens earlier this year, and Reed and John Harbaugh had what looked like a very, I think, sincere moment, you know, at probably before the game, it looked like. You know, they hugged, they talked, they were smiling. I don't think you can fake it. Like, if
it
there
doesn't
was,
make sense in that situation.
It doesn't make sense in yours either,
yes,
by the
does.
Way.
Well, that's why Eric and I laughed.
Right.
There was, I think if it was really acrimonious, it would be hard to fake it the way they did. And I'm not trying to put too much into just one shot of video of 10 seconds, but I just think it's significant. I've been making a big deal that Ed Reed, you know, was a big problem in Baltimore. Maybe he wasn't as big a problem as the media has portrayed it based on that. It didn't look like Harbaugh had no use for Ed Reed based on
that's where the coach says, I really wanted you, but Ozzie didn't.
You know what, Fred? Yeah. Don't discount that. Yeah. We know that happens.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, if you remember the stories
was
for Harbaugh,
was,
there was, but there was going to be a mutiny. And if Ed Reed was leading the mutiny,
and it was him, and
I think this was just TV time. I actually don't buy into it. I saw the same highlight.
It was him and Pollard.
Bernard
Pollard and Ed Reed were causing a mutiny on Harbaugh.
I think they
last
just
year.
Made little nice for TV.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that might be. But I just want to. That's been a big part of my reason for not wanting him. I wanted to say, look, I just saw that, and I hadn't seen it before. It just popped up, and I want to, you know, in the interest of fairness on the other side.
But
it couldn't have been that bad if they were.
Yeah, I don't
do
buy
that.
But it's also different when it's your team, which that was Ed Reed's team.
Now he's gone. I don't have to worry about him being a mutant.
No,
on
but
my hands.
Now Ed Reed comes here. This isn't his team. It never will be his team. He may win a Super Bowl here, even, but it's never his team.
It's
he's
J.J.
just
Watts.
Well, yes, that's same there, but I'm talking about if he came here.
He
it's,
came here.
It's Tom Brady's
team.
Sure. It's Logan Mankin's team.
Absolutely.
He's just a bit player.
Sure.
Let's
go
Kevin.
Let's go to New Brunswick, Canada. Chris is on the line. Hey, Chris.
I had something to say. How you doing, Fred?
Good.
Good. First time caller from up here across the border. I enjoy your show. I enjoyed Thursday's discussion on, you know, if your mother beat you. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was a good show. We've gotten a lot of
Mommy Dearest.
We've gotten a lot of compliments on that show.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. I was on my way down to Vermont for the weekend, and I was listening to that. I was on after I get done work Friday morning at 1:30. Pretty good. I was just wondering if Jackie Britton was a replacement for Eric. She did a better job than Eric usually does.
Unfortunately, no.
Eric is
Eric,
so
you
disgusting.
Want to chime in?
No.
I was just wondering what a biggest worry is with the Panthers on Monday night, and then we go to Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. I was saying before when Jaguars played against Denver and they scored like 24 points, I think, that their defense looked pretty shaky. But I don't know what we can take away from the game on Monday night against the Panthers. What's our biggest concern?
What's our biggest concern? Their defensive front.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Biggest concern will be their defensive front. I think that's the key to their success on defense, their success on third downs. That would be my secondary concern, is our weakness on third downs, their strength on third downs. We only convert 33% of the time. They only allow conversions 33% of the time. That sounds like a lot of punts for us.
Right.
Yeah, and the Denver point is interesting. I was actually talking to B-Low about this.
It took a long time.
Yeah, it probably longer than it needed to, but you do look at it, it's not a good team to have to go into Denver and having faced because of what Andy just said, the physical nature of the team. I think win, lose, or draw, you're probably going to be in a very physical Monday night road game. You're going to get home very late. You're going to lose some time, and you know what, 36 hours later, you're going to be on the practice field, probably not in full pads, coming off a physical Monday night game like that, and then you have to prepare for Denver. Now, I know that they've probably been working on Denver coming out of the bye.
Right.
Mentally, I'm not as worried about it, but physically, that's a tough bounce back. I think that's a good point.
It is.
That the caller made.
All right, we'll take a break right now. A lot more emails coming in, 508-298-0398. You can call us. We have an open line. We'll talk to you right after this.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
I couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Jackie Britton joined us a little earlier. It's good to see her. She smells good. Really does. You know, after being in a room with Andy for an hour, and then
not
she
appropriate.
Comes in, it's a breath of fresh air.
You smell good. I mean, what is wrong with you?
Well, she did, compared to you guys.
Not you, though. Of course, you never add any negative smells to anywhere.
I probably do.
Thank you.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee. When is the deadline to be claimed off waivers for Reed? What's the deadline?
Four today, right?
4 o'clock today. I was at the Steelers game behind the Steelers bench. I was looking for Fred in the media booth, but the only person I could see was Zolak. Is that the area you're in during the game? That's the broadcast booth for the networks and radio. We're like up in the, we
it's
would
the
call
corner
it
of the
southwest
zone.
Corner,
yeah.
Up above the blue seats there. So we're in a corner seat behind glass. So he probably couldn't see me.
Can't see us.
No. Occasionally our nose bleeds.
Lastly, I also saw Jackie Britton before the game hanging with the live band near the stairs. I took a second to realize it was her. TV doesn't do her justice. Make sure she gets a cookie when they get there. I guess Travis is sending us all cookies. So.
All right. Oh.
Andy, you're speechless.
He thought he was referencing the cookies, and I was going to go on a rant how we don't get cookies anymore because Fred doesn't like that restaurant, even though that's the best restaurant.
Well, if people buy us lunch.
Although
we'll
the pizza they give you is good.
Yeah, you get your pizza. What are you complaining about?
Fred's new diet working out well for Andy, although I may put on a few pounds eating the leftovers of all his lunches.
The pounds Fred's losing, you're minding.
Well, I didn't say Fred's losing any. I haven't seen any evidence of lost weight on Fred. He hasn't got his treadmill yet in his office.
Did you order that
I
yet?
Missed that whole conversation. He's getting a treadmill for his office with a desk surround and his computer so he can walk all day long.
Are you really?
I'm thinking of it.
Even got the okay from the upper management.
Oh, this isn't a joke? This isn't one of your, like,
oh, it's a joke.
Soap in a slot kind of
thing? No. In fact, there's a lot of emails that I haven't really got to them, but people have been emailing in suggestions and pictures of people that have done it. And
so you're actually going to get a treadmill in your office?
Yeah.
It's going to replace his desk, essentially.
Really?
Yep.
So where's your laptop and all that stuff? Your phone going to go?
There's a whole...
On the treadmill?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
This isn't a joke.
No.
Well, it is, but...
Well, it's not a certainty either, but it's not a joke.
You got permission to do this?
I did.
Wow.
I don't want to waste anybody's money, though, so I'm really thinking long and hard about
it. You mean whether or not you're actually going to use it?
Long and hard.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just feeding into your insanity.
So, and you know you waste money before, but it's one thing when it's yours, like with the juicer and the perfect pickup.
Right, right. If I'm paying for it, that's another thing.
So you're going to be getting exercise.
Maybe that'll be good, though, because if you buy it, you'll feel guilty or pressure.
Right, yeah.
I am really intrigued by this.
Oh, yeah. Look up treadmill desks. There's a lot of people doing it.
There's a lot of people doing it. Have you seen any?
Yeah. Well,
In person.
On the internets.
I can see a lot of things on the internets that I've never seen in real life.
That also aren't true.
Three-breasted women and all that kind of stuff.
King says Andy is spot on.
Not surprisingly, his example.
So wait, are you going to be in, like, sweatpants? And
No.
Like
you don't run or anything. You just walk at, like, 2 miles an hour.
You don't actually sweat.
But you're just walking all day long?
As long as you want. This one guy said he tried it. He actually wrote a review, and he said, you know, his plan was to do it for, like, maybe an hour or two a day. He ended up doing 7 hours a day. He says it's changed his life.
I would imagine.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of walking, no matter what speed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
I don't think you would do that.
King says that Andy's spot on. The phrase is de-riding, and it's used in exactly how Andy said, kissing ass. You don't find that phrasing odd. Why should you think?
I got your ass to kiss right here.
Please stop killing Andy for thinking it, because I'm sure I was too at the time. Well, both crazy.
Wait a minute. You just said it's to kiss ass?
Yeah.
So that's riding your coattails? That's not the same thing as kissing ass.
No, that's they're doing. They are massaging him, feeding into him, because they want to ride the coattails throughout all this. Yes.
They're two different things, though.
Yeah, I don't necessarily look at those two things as the same.
They're not the same.
What two things?
Riding somebody's coattails
is not the same.
I know. And I think
he changed
his phrase midway through because he realized he couldn't say the C word.
Yeah, I don't think that.
But he also changed what he was trying to say then.
If that phrase means kissing someone's ass, I don't think that means riding your coattails.
Well, I think it's the same kind of thing. I mean,
people who ride your coattails may also do that, but they're not.
A lot of ways people ride coattails is by continuing to kiss ass.
I will give Andy credit because I had not heard that phrase.
Tom Brady has a number of people that used to work here that ride his.
Yes.
And that's how they've made their life.
Yeah, I think they ride his coattails. I don't necessarily look at
see, I think they ride his.
Whatever.
I think you're both right. In separate instances.
I think one goes hand in hand with the other. I mean, I think there's, you know, rappers who have guys that ride their coattails.
The entourage.
Yeah. And they do both. Because one generally leads to the other, allows you to do the other better.
Well, yeah,
because guess what? If you don't ride his, sometimes you get on the outside looking in.
But I would say like somebody like you could have made the argument in Cleveland, in his first go-around, Belichick had been riding Parcells' coattails. That's how he got the job, because he was getting credit for a lot of the things.
Right.
But I don't think he was kissing his ass.
No. But that's a totally different thing.
That's what I'm saying. They're
so,
two
in other
things.
Words, you can ride someone's coattails without kissing their ass.
Correct. But oftentimes, when you're kissing their ass, part of it is so you can ride their coattails.
And I'm not sure the brothers would have to kiss his ass to ride his coattails.
Well, in your other one with Brady, it's probably true.
That's
the opposite could
one
be
one
true, though. You don't want to rock the boat either.
But I'll
all of a sudden, you,
you
find you, he's out, and right. you go, wait, he's having fun in Bahamas this week and didn't ask me to come?
You don't bite the hand that feeds
right.
him.
Right.
But I'll give you full credit, Andy, because I hadn't heard the phrase in any,
well,
in any conversation. So I'll give you full credit.
I'm a little younger and hipper than you are.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you're also obsessed with sex. Mostly, you know, male on male.
Right. It's true. Andy just did a spit take.
No, he actually did.
He did a spit take.
He just spit on the ground.
Yeah. He had water. Now he's choking.
I got him. Of all the things you've ever said, that got him. And we all knew that was what was coming, too.
Do you have to do that in the microphone?
I think you've said way funnier things on the
nearly
show.
Nearly died.
Well, I'm a funny guy.
I think you hit a chord there.
Well,
it's timing and
Andy needs a moment.
Eric, Kevin, you might want to look at this box over here too.
Well, at least it was water and not a sugar-based drink.
Yeah, as the great Fred Kirsch once said when he dumped a water on a guy in front of him,
it's just water. Some poor SOB that was walking by. Oh, it's just water.
That was funny.
Yeah, I'm dry now. It was just water.
And you notice he backed right down.
What did you expect him to do?
Did you want him to fight you?
Well, he didn't like ask me to apologize.
I mean, he wasn't like a Jets guy. I mean, you would have fought him.
You were being an a-hole. He saw that right away.
Right.
The first thing should have been the apology.
Oh my God, I'm
not,
so sorry.
It's just
should have been the first thing that you said.
You make fun of me for being an a-hole, but that is an instance where you were one of the biggest a-holes on the planet.
That's true.
You didn't even
His first thing he said was, "It's just water." That's like hitting somebody and saying, "It's just a scratch."
Well, I wanted
it's just a little dance.
I wanted to assure him it was just water.
No,
but that should with the apology.
That should have come about three sentences in.
I think I might have
like as he's trying to like dry it off. You say it won't make a stain. It's just water.
How do I sound?
Am I
underwater?
I don't want
Rook coming
in here and yelling
at me.
Actually, sound better in that one.
Let's see. Chris in Boston, I have an interesting question to ask you guys. Was Aaron Hernandez a bad draft pick? Now, I realize he's a psychopath, but are the Patriots really at fault for not being able to see that? I mean, some really dumb national guys say we should have known that he could go on to be a murderer because of his gang connections. That is as lazy of a hindsight analysis you can get. I remember that 2010 draft, and most of the prospects and the biggest concern of Hernandez was why he fell in the draft wasn't the vague gang connections he may or may not have had. At the top of his concerns on scouting reports were the marijuana use, the short fuse, trouble pass, and having questionable friends.
Isn't that the same thing?
Just so you know, that's gang-related activity.
Tell me who looks at that and thinks murder. That scouting report probably applies to at least 10% of the league.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. The marijuana? More than
marijuana
10%.
Is more than 10%, but the other stuff is not.
We said this at the time, or somewhere in the time. We thought it was weird that Dimitroff said he was off their board. And that's not just marijuana. There's more.
You don't get taken off boards
there.
For marijuana. We said it at the time. I'm not killing the Patriots for making the draft pick.
I don't blame them at all.
I don't think it was a great pick because I think there were a lot of teams that absolutely would not have drafted him. And to me, it's no different. I think it's absolutely fair to say you can't go from there to murder. The Patriots have 0% responsibility for not understanding that it could go from where it was to murder. Totally off the hook for that to me. But to me, it's not any different than if you had a guy who, you know, if Rob Gronkowski suffered a serious back injury in year two and never played again, it's the same thing.
Well, it's the same thing.
It could happen. You know, if this is in his past,
Jonathan Martin really does have this emotional thing. And he had, and he had this problem. Instead of quitting the team, he came back in and shot somebody. Should they have known? Well, he had this emotional problem. They should have known he was capable of doing that. Of course not.
But there's still, I don't think it would be any different. You can question the pick. If Hernandez didn't murder anybody, but, you know, had one failed marijuana test, so he missed four games, and then missed something, got suspended because he got into an altercation at a club, so he got a two-game suspension. You know, if it added up, that could have happened.
And you could look back and say, well, that was a bad pick.
Right. You should have seen that this guy wasn't.
No, I'm taking them off the hook for murder. Because no one could have seen that.
But you balance that out with the fact that when he is playing for you, he's good. He's sometimes at a Pro Bowl level.
But everybody knew that. Right. Like it's, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody knew that if we're just talking about talent, we can all
see
that.
Which is why you balance it out with getting him in where you got him, which was in the fourth round.
But that would be my question. I don't know where his value was in the eyes of 32 NFL teams. I don't actually buy that he was a first-round talent. I think he was a second-round talent.
I don't know how Tim Tebow came out of that program. Because they were all...
That's a great point.
You know, how did he survive in that program?
Oh, because he's a fraud.
No, that's not true. That's not the answer.
Now you gave,
it could be the answer.
Now, you gave a very nice rundown in your little synopsis on our show.
But isn't that the possibility
about Tim Tebow?
That he's not quite as squeaky clean as you think he is?
Is it possible? Of course
but
it is.
It that would have come out
when
by
in Rome
now,
was doing with the Romans?
With
but do you really think there's a possibility of that?
With all the people that hate him, you don't think it would have come out by now?
I have no idea.
Of course it would have.
All the stuff about Aaron Hernandez at Florida was very well tucked under the rug until he murdered and then other stuff popped
up. But do you think there's
up.
A possibility that when in Rome, Tim Tebow was that?
No, like, but there's so a happy medium.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was doing
enough to fall in line.
Maybe he wasn't quite as squeaky
He was out
clean
to dinner with Aaron Hernandez
is.
When altercations were happening. He was with a bad crew.
That doesn't mean he was part of it.
No, but do you think when he was with that crew, he was saying, "And the Lord, we don't swear and we don't."
I actually do.
He might have been.
I actually do think that he was trying to help.
Yeah. Oh, I think he was trying to help, but I think it's a happy medium. I don't think he was as clean cut and perfect as people think he is.
Probably not, because I think it would be impossible. It's much like I said yesterday. I don't think Peyton Manning could throw 7 touchdown passes every game. So he's gonna tail off. Like, you know, he only had 4 last game. He had 7 in the first game. He tailed off. You know, I don't think anybody could live up to Tim Tebow's squeaky clean image. I think that's impossible. But
especially when you're rolling with gangsters.
I personally think that he's a lot closer to that than when in Rome he was more like all the rest. Like, I think Fred makes a great point. Evidently, it seems like that entire program was either in jail or should have been.
Look, right.
Except for him.
The head coach.
Of course, except for him.
The current head coach for Boston College did a talk
Steve Adazio.
And he was talking because he was down in Florida. And he said, you know, he believes every team should have a mission statement. When a guy comes on your team, this mission statement should be crystal clear about what your expectations are once you become a member of a team. Down in Florida, part of their mission statement was no drugs, no abusing women. He goes, really? You needed to put that in your mission statement? What the hell?
You just said you wanted it crystal clear.
we're back to Seinfeld.
But the fact that in Florida, they needed to put those words in, you know, tells you what was going on down there.
No, but it also tells you where those people are coming from.
Fine, but those guys...
People with bad backgrounds just
don't go to Gainesville. They go all over the country.
Exactly, and I don't have a problem.
But they all seem to congregate in Gainesville. Well, they did when Urban Meyer was there. Now they're in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
I don't have a problem making it crystal clear, as you said, because I do think a lot of these people come from backgrounds in which right and wrong is a little more questionable in terms of what they've seen. They didn't grow up with, you know, the white picket fence and a mom and a dad.
I get it.
You know, there were drug dealers at the back door, and there were moms who were prostitutes, and there were... You know, I think there were a lot of situations where you're better off being very clear with what right and wrong is.
I get that, but do you have to put it? I mean, you say that, but you put it in your mission statement because it's so prevalent?
Just said that he says they should have a mission statement that's very clear of what's expected.
Yeah,
I think that's what Florida did.
Well,
now the problem is not adhering to it, not making sure everybody lives up to it, not holding them to a certain standard, allowing them to do X, Y,
and Z,
while
the
other supposedly
thing.
Having
there's
said
a lot of
statement.
There's a lot of teams that have people with troubled pasts that don't have that in their mission statement, and they don't have the problems that Florida did during that time.
Well, we don't know about them.
Yeah, how do you know what everybody else's mission statement says?
Well, I you're
you
right
don't.
There. I know, but, you know, you're right. But
don't compare Boston College with Florida.
This guy's been around.
Two very different things.
Steve Avizino's been around enough to know.
Adazio.
Whatever his name is. He's been around enough programs to know. He thought it was crazy.
I think that's a little.
Where's he been?
I think Temple. He was at Temple, right?
Yeah. He's been like
I'm sure he's been
seven
a lot.
Or eight different
I mean, those
schools.
Guys,
but I think
those guys are
I,
a lot
I personally think it's different when you're at Alabama and then Florida and then Georgia than if you're at Navy and then
and
Boston College.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I think Boston College is in the group with Navy, not in the group with S.
They've had their share of scandals.
They have had their – you know what they have? Some of them are like white boy scandals, like gambling scandals. Like, I mean, everybody has problems. No matter what, you know, they say like in the suburbs that the drug problem
of
with
course.
The white affluent
that's
community
right.
is as high as ever.
Right.
But a lot of them are different. You know, they're sort of on different wavelengths.
That's because they didn't have mission statements that said don't do drugs.
Right.
Well, do they have a mission statement that says don't do gambling?
Well, that's kind
or
of
or don't
rule.
Gamble, I probably
well, we,
would.
We've sort of, yeah, don't do gambling.
Right. Anyway.
What a maroon.
I go back to my original thing. It just seems so odd that such a guy like Tim Tebow, who I don't think is a fraud, survived that program.
Well, and he also survived because he was great.
Well, yeah. But, you know, for
it's sort of my Jonathan Martin argument. If Jonathan Martin were great, we wouldn't have this issue. So it would have been handled much differently.
You know what a great little...
Tim Tebow, had he been a, you know, Bible-toting blah, 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 who sucked, would have been treated quite differently. You would have washed out of Florida. We would not have fit there.
You know, a great sub-story that sort of came out, and I don't really know all the details of it, but that fact that that all the people that played for Florida at the time, when Cam Newton was there, were, like, incredulous that Cam Newton hadn't beaten out Tim Tebow. Like, they couldn't understand why Meyer didn't make the change. And that ultimately led to, you know, when Newton got in trouble, that's why, you know, like, Fred, how many guys, Urban Meyer, everybody got a second chance.
Right.
And he seemingly didn't.
Because he had Tim Tebow.
Because I think he didn't want the problem. But I just find that really interesting that Cam Newton was there. And a lot of the guys, a lot of people that follow that stuff a lot closer than we do, you know, kind of casually, with casual college fans, thought that he should have played over Tebow that one year that he was at Florida, and then ended up having to go to the junior college before he went to
Auburn. But for all we know, maybe Urban Meyer has like this plan where it's get all the punk athletes you can, but put a good quarterback in place. No, and I'm being kind of serious.
Yeah, no.
Like, these are my couple leaders that will try to rein in whatever I have. I mean, I wouldn't put past that.
I think he made a mistake.
What do you mean?
I think he could have won more national titles.
With Newton?
Newton.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Newton did it with a terrible team. Yeah, but you think if he had, say he plays and he wins a national title as a freshman, I think Cam Newton would have been the problem child of all problem childs. The biggest star with the biggest.
He probably doesn't stay for 4 years. Like
he went from Dota gambling to problem childs.
Well.
Oh, shut up and spit on some more water.
But seriously, I mean, Tebow stayed.
Right.
I don't think Newton stays if he has that kind of success early on.
Probably not.
It worked out for everybody.
And they won two titles, right?
Ultimately, it did work out.
Or did he win? They won
two
titles.
Yeah, they won two titles.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, one of them, he was a part timer.
With Leak.
Right.
With Leak. But, and that wasn't Newton.
He would have won a third, but he lost the game and cried.
I don't think that's how it worked.
That was the SEC title game. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's how it worked. You lost the SEC title game and he cried.
He didn't lose the national championship.
Oh, but if they had won that SEC title. Then,
yeah. They're the Patriots. I forgot.
The inference is that they probably would have won the national title.
Right.
Florida, like the Patriots, would have won the title had they not lost two games before.
Sam from Brighton, every team that has worn throwbacks this year has worn their regular helmet with either a different sticker or no sticker.
Right.
Okay.
I think because the
red. So why couldn't the Patriots do it?
I don't know. I think because the red throwbacks are out, next year they should switch to 90s Royal blue throwbacks.
No, the color, I don't like those uniforms.
No.
The color the colors were different. He just said with a decal or whatever.
Or a sticker.
A sticker.
I thought for sure
so
I
could
saw
do that with the Patriots helmets too if they wanted to.
The Packers.
Yeah, but that would look stupid because they have silver helmets.
Why can't you put a decal over it so you can't see the silver and you make it white?
You know,
the whole thing?
Yeah. A decal? Heat wrap. They wrap the whole helmet.
Okay.
And I that's what I
is
thought.
Is true about the Packers?
I don't
this vision of the Packers wearing a more of a mustard color.
All right, VIP strippers.
But they could have been a
it could have been a wrap. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what the guy is saying. I'm taking his word for it.
I'm not.
As usual, we only have a little of the information and we come here and they fill in the blanks.
I'm driving down to Charlotte this weekend for the game, but I'm going to miss you Sunday night, Fred, cuz I won't be going to Charlotte till 2 in the morning. On the drive down, I'm going to stop in Philly for the Eagles Skins game.
It's a nice little road trip.
Wow.
And by the way, I'll be at Bikinis Sunday night.
Getting a wax?
Doing
it's
the
take
fan,
a lot of wax.
Patriots fan party at Bikinis. And it's actually like
are you going?
Right
you
around the corner
yet?
From the hotel.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Is it really?
I guess not. The silence is deafening.
Yeah,
you got to go.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Eric and I have to go the next day and do a talk.
Eric, think about.
And I really, I want you to scout it for me. Because a lot of these restaurants are very disappointing. You get like kind of thick
the
girls.
The restaurant thing?
Yeah,
oh,
thick, not really.
Thick girls.
Andy,
I want
of
you
them,
to scout it, and I'll be asking.
None
you,
of
okay?
them have good. Even
well,
Hooters.
But this is down south. This is down south.
Occasionally at Hooters. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Occasionally at Hooters. Hooters in the south.
Yeah.
You'll get a couple real stunning knockouts.
Yeah, like the one in Daytona Beach.
Now, around here, you get nothing.
We went when we were like in our early 20s. The one in Daytona Beach was legit.
Yeah, I've actually been.
Yeah. So there's a chance
I've been
this
to
is.
A Hooters in Daytona Beach.
Charlotte, I mean, it's an act. There's colleges in that area.
There is a lot.
UNC Charlotte.
Didn't we, you and I went to one in Miami, didn't we?
Fort Lauderdale, yeah.
Yeah, to Fort Lauderdale.
Beach, yeah.
Well, A1A.
Remember they just kept bringing the buckets of Miller Heavies over?
But yeah, the other thing on Monday, Fred,
that was one of those years we went down on like
Friday. I
think
I have a long-sleeve t-shirt
surprising.
From that. I didn't steal it. I bought it. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it.
That was the day that McGinnis yelled at us. Remember we were sitting out by the pool, and he's like, what are you guys, crazy?
Oh, yeah.
He made me, Brian, and Andy go out.
Sorry, we don't have a limo waiting for us to take us out, and we don't, you know, VIP areas and...
Let's see, right... Person writes in from South Carolina. Right. Longtime listener, keep up the good work. You can never get rid of PFW. I have been receiving the Pony Express for quite a long time. Love it. My wife has finally stopped asking me if I want it renewed and just does it.
Nice.
As for the treadmill desks, I came in a few weeks ago and my wife was watching a TV show, maybe NCIS or something like that. And lo and behold, there it was, Fred's treadmill desk. I couldn't believe it. They were trying to have a meeting while the guy was walking on it. And all I could picture was you guys trying to have a meeting with Fred around this thing. And I started laughing hysterically and my wife thought I lost my mind. I had to explain after I got up off the floor. If you don't get this, you need to do PFW TV from it. Or if you do get it, you need to do PFW TV from it or broadcast your meetings so we can all have a nice laugh, laugh break in our days. Your ratings would be off the charts for comedy.
Could you imagine if we did the show with him on a treadmill? Trying to
he wouldn't even notice.
He'd be breathy.
He's already breathy.
Very breathy. Well,
but, and then he starts to eat?
Well, you'd have to stop it.
I tend to drop things when I eat.
That is true. You'd have to do like images of the week. Is that what you do in your office?
Yeah.
From the treadmill.
The next great tight end.
If we really did a reality TV show PFW and did it right, I think it would be pretty funny.
I don't.
No?
No.
You think
no one would get us?
It'd have to be heavily edited.
I don't think there's enough there.
You come out with it out of a whole week, you couldn't get an hour or a half hour.
No.
Really?
We like to play like that, but no.
Well, because you know why? Because
there's no sex.
Because some of the things that we say, you wouldn't say when the
camera
was rolling.
Again, you have to have sex.
No, but like...
It's a show about a sports newspaper.
Wouldn't mind having sex.
Again, Andy, we're all guys.
Exactly.
There doesn't have to be any talk about sex.
What did you just say? I said I wouldn't mind having sex. That would be fine.
What?
No, but in all seriousness,
I think we'd have to like take it to the next. Like, you know when we joked about you getting a prostitute?
Yes.
If we got you a prostitute, that's the kind of stuff that would make that type of a reality show a success. Or if we like actually traveled with Robert and were like rubbing elbows with famous people. But like us putting together a stupid paper is not exciting. Our lives, as much as we may enjoy them, are not exciting. They suck.
No, but we do have those encounters, like just rubbing elbows
with Robert.
What
about you yelling at a parking attendant?
That would rub off. Okay. I mean, that wouldn't.
No.
Now that would work if we had more of Eric getting the pipes cleaned and your wife saying he should get the pipes cleaned and like then he actually gets the pipes cleaned. That sells. That's like MTV drama.
Yeah, but then Fred would be watching that tape and then I wouldn't want him watching.
He has to take it into one of those reality shows that like 15 people watch on MTV.
No, I want people to watch this and I don't know who would watch us. Like we have our nice little core audience. I love them to death. And if you put it on the web. They would probably watch it. The people that are already fans of us. But if you just put it on TV,
right.
No one's watching.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't mean to, you know, be the party pooper.
No, that's okay. It's all right.
If we got other stuff involved, Gronk. If we went everywhere Gronk goes, okay, now we've added that. But now it's kind of a Gronk reality show. Like, we don't have any draw.
You don't think so?
No. None of us have big boobs. We do, but not the kind that sell.
The camera would stray. And we could bring in talent.
So now we're just making it up. It's not a reality show.
Yeah.
We're bringing in tatas.
I don't really understand why it has to be like you know geared to the 11-year-old.
Well, I just think it needs to be geared to something, not our boring lives.
Football
putting
people
a stupid. Yeah, but football people care about football, not us putting together a stupid paper.
But it will be us talking about the Patriots as part of our everyday life. Now listen, it's not going to work. I mean, it's just kind of a joke, but. I mean, you have this whole branched out thing where it's all about sex.
No draw. There's nothing interesting.
Right.
Celebrity sells in reality TV. Sex sells. Interesting excursions. Like these dating shows. It's not just the dating show. They go do some cool thing where they get to fly a plane or they do this.
Well, I'll tell you.
We have nothing.
There's a lot of shows that sell that have nothing to do with sex. I mean, like the bar rescue and the home rescue.
Yeah,
and
but
all that stuff.
That's different. Our thing is
Biggest
not interesting.
Loser.
But, yeah.
What's our draw? Give me our draw.
Fred's saying football.
That's not a draw.
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
Be an utter failure.
But I do
like
think
even
it would
look
be
at,
funny.
You know,
I don't think reality shows work. I think
the original
8 million of them is like three.
One
of
the originals was Orange County Choppers. You know,
right.
They did the motorcycle thing,
right.
But that included famous motorcycles. You know,
right.
Somebody would come from some, and we need this, and
right.
The unveiling, or they would do these crazy excursions where they would just, you know, Fred comes in, we're going to go paintballing for the day, and you know, like. We don't do any of that.
Right, but do you think that...
Like our baseball
show. Do you
challenge.
Think the paintballing for
right
a day...
Yeah,
game,
that would have been good.
But hold on, Andy. Do you think the paintballing for a day in that show came before or after they started doing the show? In other words, before they started doing
I don't
the show,
know.
Do you think they did things like that?
Probably
not.
So.
Probably
not. I think they did, because I think that's the environment they're in.
Really?
Where you have a very wealthy boss who is still a kid and still rides ATVs. And
well,
still,
but how wealthy you know, were they when they started the show?
They were doing all right. Cause
they were doing all right, but were they doing all right enough for them to say, all right, we're going to just take an entire day off and go play paintball?
I think so.
Really?
I mean, their motorcycles are like $100,000 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They
And
they
are they have
they
a
are
very,
now.
Very lucrative back-end business of just like iron. Like wrought iron railings and like all.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they started out on some level.
Okay.
So. I think he was, I mean, you see their houses and stuff, which were shown pretty early in the show. They were making a lot of money before they became
okay.
TV money.
Let's go to
get the push-up contest on TV. I mean, that would be
I'm all for that, because then
Fred
all the ridiculous arguments that Fred brings to the table
would
be poo-pooed.
You went halfway down. Let's go to George in Winnipeg. Hey, George.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Great job. First time calling in. Long-time listener. Emailed you guys many times.
Are you on a treadmill desk right now?
Sounds like it.
Actually, no, I'm in Chapters. I'm in Chapters without browsing books.
Oh, okay.
Down there. I think for you guys it's called Barnes & Noble.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So anyways,
you read books?
just listening to your chat here, and Vin Weenie's called in a few times, especially on the Tim Tebow issue being a fraud, and you know. But before that, I wanted to say a couple things about our defense. I think, you know, the way we've been built, you guys know from the inside through the middle, just being tough, strong, bigger than the average NFL team, stopping the run and bending but not breaking. So I think that your arguments that have been made over the last weeks, months, about us not being even years, even going back a year or two, not having a good pass rush, I think you sacrifice a little bit of that when you have such big run stuffers up front. Our linebackers are big and strong. Our linemen were always big and strong. Of course, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of the pass rush. So that's the one thing I wanted to say. You can't have the best of all worlds. You can't have the best pass rusher, the best defensive stuffers, the best coverage guys. You're going to sacrifice a little bit of coverage. So Hightower, I'm not upset with him at all. He's a great pick. I think our linebackers are going to be great picks.
Great? You think Hightower's a great pick?
Well,
he's in his second season, fledgling through a nothing career.
Well, he's not fledgling. I mean, come on. He's young. He's one of the smartest.
Well, Patrick Willis was young, and he was an all-pro.
Patrick Willis. We're not saying he's that.
Well, he was a first-round pick, so he's compared to other first-round picks. Now, I know Willis was 10, but you're talking about an impact, a guy you traded up for in the first round. You're expecting impact. So you're of the year four jump category.
No, not at all. I think you might be giving up on him a little bit too quickly. I think that he's big, he's strong, he's heady, one of the smartest players on the team already, and he's very young. He's a great run stuffer, great on defense, and he's only going to improve in coverage.
Do you like run stuffers? And by the way, we've talked endless times over the years about.
I don't think he's great at any of the
Belichick's
things.
Belichick's philosophy was part of the problem. And I mean, when did I get Mike Lombardi's quote? That had to have been 5 or 6 years ago, that the NFL is trending towards basketball on grass where you don't need these big 260-pound outside linebackers. Mm. We talked about that forever, that they were behind the times, that the league was trending towards speed-based passing defense, and they weren't doing that. You're right. They were staying big at linebacker. They were these big guys that, yes, could stop the run in a league where stopping the run may no longer be the most important thing.
And to his point, one example he might be able to point to for a guy who didn't exactly have a great year two jump but is doing well now is Devin McCourty. Mm-hmm. He actually had a year two fall
fell
on his
off
face.
The earth.
After a Pro Bowl rookie year, but is now probably finding where he really belongs.
And I think the same thing is going to happen to Dante Hightower when they move him to middle linebacker and he becomes just a solid middle linebacker and you go, well, that's good, but I drafted a playmaker. I drafted a guy that's supposed to be versatile and have impact playmaking ability.
Huh. I mean, you can't, are you not impressed with Gerard Mayo? Do you think this is his first good year?
No, but his first three were useless. He was an utter disappointment for 3 years.
I don't take it to Andy's level, but I won't take it to Andy's level.
He's a tackle machine, and then he finally started making plays.
Make yourself look bad when
you
make
stuff. I don't take it to Andy's level, but I haven't been overly impressed. I don't think he's a playmaking linebacker like a lot of other guys.
Well, he's been a lot better in the last year and a half, 2 years. He came on.
Maybe because the guys around him got a little bit better.
No, because they moved him to a playmaking position of weak side linebacker. They moved him to weak side linebacker, and he made him more of a playmaker.
Right, and so he could have moved him to weak side linebacker, and he wouldn't have made the
plays.
Correct,
no question.
So he's a good player.
He already had a $50 million contract at that
point. He's always been a good player.
He's certainly not worthy of the 10th pick of the draft.
He's a good player.
You guys know better than anyone. Bill's philosophy is you put the team ahead of yourself. You're not always put in a position to make plays. You're not in college anymore where you're asked to do all the things. When you're asked to make 15 sacks and 12 tackles for a loss. Now you're a team role player. You don't get those opportunities all the time. You can't judge the guy just by that alone. You got to look at the overall picture.
By what alone, though? I wasn't judging him by anything alone.
At the end of the day, Gerard Mayo is going to have 10-12 year career here as a starting linebacker. I'll take him in the position that they drafted
but don't
him
tell
any
me,
day of the year.
But don't
do
tell me
again,
Hightower's
again,
been as good as Mayo was as a rookie.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about Mayo.
No, I know, but don't compare Hightower and Mayo.
No.
Because Hightower hasn't done anything that Mayo did as a rookie.
Not even close yet, but I agree. He's got some upside, and he'll get better.
Hightower has huge.
Everybody has upside. When you first get in the league, you have upside.
No, but there's some guys that they're not that good. He's going to be good.
I would actually put Hightower in. He's not that good. Okay.
All right, George. Thanks for the call. You're breaking up a little bit.
Was he actually in a bookstore calling us? Because that's inappropriate to me.
I can't stand the argument that it's by choice.
Maybe he's in the sports section.
I don't think that makes it okay to be yelling.
You know,
especially he was getting heated.
I don't like
there.
The argument by choice. You know, you're not supposed to do those things.
Right.
You know. Suddenly, Chandler Jones was allowed to get after the passer this year, I guess. I don't know.
I just use
Chris
Bill's
Jones'
statement.
Chris
if you
Jones
have
comes
Reggie
off
White,
waivers.
You play Reggie White. If you have a guy that makes plays, you allow him to make plays.
Right. Sam is in Brighton.
But Chris Jones comes off waivers.
Hey, Sam.
How's it going?
Good.
I just talking about the helmet. Green Bay, they wore their regular, like you said, mustard-colored helmet with no G on it. You know, normally
so it was the same one? See, I thought it was a different shade of whatever, yellowy, mustardy vomit.
The only teams I've seen this year, the Bears, who, like I said, they can just take the logo off, change the face mask, same helmet. The Packers could theoretically have just taken the logos and the
That's
stickers
did,
off,
yeah.
changed the face mask. And the Rams,
Steelers
who wore their...
Did too.
The Steelers did, too?
The Rams did change their
Steelers
stickers.
Had a yellow helmet.
Oh, I didn't see the Steelers.
On Sunday night game against Chicago when they wore the...
Chicago was the Vikings. That was the different game that I saw. But anyway...
Yeah, the question that we're wondering about is, did they put a decal on the helmet, or did they use different helmets? And I think they put decals on. I think they put a wrap of some sort to change the color.
Just decals. And the Redskins did the same thing. They took away their Native American and just had the regular burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Dante Hightower, I think...
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question. Every team could do that. You can put a wrap on the helmet. Why have some teams said that we're not going to do that?
No team has put a wrap. Not one team has put a wrap. All they've done is just not.
Pittsburgh wore a yellow helmet.
The Steelers have had yellow helmets.
Their helmets are normally black.
Not this year.
I'm 99.9% sure that they did it this year, but I'll take your word for it.
But anyways, Dante Hightower, I think he's lucky he wasn't our first pick that year. Because he has Chandler Jones in front of him, so people don't really look at he doesn't have as much pressure as he would have.
That's a great point.
It is a good
point. He was our only first-round pick.
Yep.
Because he would be looked down upon more if he were the only pick or the first pick that year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep, I think he's one of the biggest busts Bill has had as of now.
Biggest bust? Really?
Hightower is a bust?
Come on.
I'm not impressed with
25th
him.
25th overall.
I'm not impressed with him.
Bigger bust than Sean Merriweather?
I was expecting
Merriweather. Brandon Merriweather?
He's going to say Sean Taylor.
Lawrence Maroney.
Here's where I jump sides on my. He went to two Pro Bowls, Fred.
He's a bigger bust than Lawrence Maroney. Maybe
so?
Not Merriweather.
He's only in his second year.
I think. Well, when Merriweather, when Maroney was in his second year, he was an up and coming star.
Yeah, I don't think. No, no way.
He fell off the face of the earth after that.
I cannot wait until Hightower leaves.
Merriweather,
and we get the real Fred opinion on Hightower.
No,
Merriweather to me stunk from day one. I agree with Fred.
He
on
stunk
Merriweather.
In the Big Bang Club.
If you remember the Merriweather story, Fred Smirlis vowed that they intended to cut him.
Which
that he almost
did you
got
think
cut
it was,
as a rookie,
really?
A first round
rookie.
which I found hard.
All right, Sam. I mean, if Hightower stays the way he is and never improves and just plays the way he is now, yeah, bad pick. But I think he is going to improve. And
he might.
Now, and I will also admit he isn't doing the things that we all projected him to do.
But isn't that part of it?
It is part of it. But I do think that, okay, his trajectory is a longer one than we had hoped.
Like, I think McCourty is a there's a problem that he is now a safety. The idea is you move people later in their career. So unless you drafted him thinking there's a chance he's going to be a safety in a couple of years.
Right.
But I don't think they did that. I think they drafted him to be a cornerback.
No doubt.
So I don't want to call it a bust or a disappointment. I don't know what the word is.
And if you projected him to be a safety, you wouldn't have drafted him in the way you did. You projected him to be a corner, you know, McCourty. And that's why you took him in the first round.
I assume that is the case.
Joel is in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Yeah, that's not
the game. Hey, guys, how's everything?
Good.
I just was calling because I agree with Andy, you know, about Hightower and how bad he is.
Well,
I don't know
the emotional fans usually do agree with Andy.
Well, you know what? But I'm not emotional. That's the thing. I watch the
either.
Players. I've been a fan since forever. And to me, if you look at like a Patrick Willis, you see how quick he gets to the ball.
Yep.
How good he's in coverage, how good he is in pass rush.
Yep.
To me, Hightower is not a physical linebacker.
He is certainly not even close to Patrick Willis.
What does Dont'a Hightower do well, Fred?
I think overall he doesn't do anything really bad. Okay player.
What does he do well?
I think he knows the game well. I think he tackles well. I think he, you know, defends the run pretty well. He lacks in coverage skills. I don't think he's often out of position. He's just, you know, doesn't make the play.
Yeah, I think I'm wrong on Chicago.
But
I mean, on Pittsburgh,
they're wearing them against Detroit. To make a play?
What's
that?
It's a different uniform.
Isn't that the job of a linebacker to make a play?
Well, yeah, but he makes plays. Come on. It's not like he hasn't made any plays.
I have not seen
He isn't the dynamic, multifaceted, oversized, athletic linebacker we thought he was going to be.
At least yet.
But that doesn't mean he's not a good football player. I mean, we had real high hopes for this guy. He hasn't lived up to those. But falling short of that doesn't mean he's a bust.
Well, let me ask you this, Fred. When have you seen Hightower make a play? He was like, wow.
A few times this year.
Hightower?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
can you think of one?
In the backfield tackles for loss. Yes, absolutely.
But a play that you just said, wow, what an unbelievable individual play.
No, I haven't. But,
okay, that's what he's asking you.
Yeah. Right.
Not just a tackle. Spikes
like
makes
Patrick
tackles
Willis?
In the backfield all the time.
Yeah.
But not necessarily plays that you say, like that, oh, my God, did you see that
Right, but
play?
I'll take those plays. I mean, just because he hasn't made mean I don't think he's a good football player.
He doesn't
player.
Make a lot of those plays either, Fred. I mean,
Brandon Spikes makes a lot more of those plays than Hightower does.
Right. What I'm saying is a football life is not a long life. So for him, he needs to be good first, second year. The second year, he should be killing people. He should be killing people.
Figured.
It shouldn't take his fourth year to decide, hey, you know what, let me step it up. First of all, he's very slow as a linebacker, period. And just like Andy was saying, the league is changing. There's no more stopping the run. It's all pass. It's all pass.
I'd be happy if I thought he stopped the run as well as Spikes does.
Well,
I don't think he does.
I think once he goes in the middle, he'll be fine. He'll be a guy who'll get you 90 or 100 tackles. I don't think he will have the impact Spikes does. I don't think he's as an aggressive guy going forward and making plays in the run. He'll be fine. But again, that's a little bit like McCourty. Well, I drafted him to be one thing, and okay, now he's decent at what I'm putting him in now, but I still have a hole where I drafted him to fill because, you know, it's sort of like if they didn't get Tlaib, you wouldn't be set at corner because you blew your first-round pick at corner.
Right.
You fortunately got Tlaib.
Or you'd be what you've been the last three weeks.
No, that's what I mean.
Giving up 30-plus points every game.
Would everybody be happy if McCourty was at safety now but the corners sucked? No. They're happy with their corners because they got a number
because
one corner,
came in
so it's okay that he's at safety.
Because
right.
Tlaib solidified everything.
We're okay with McCourty at safety because we
so
have
if you
a
continue
corner.
To have a hole at outside linebacker but he moves inside, well, you didn't fill the hole I drafted you to fill.
The one sort of thing that I'll agree with, and I don't forget which caller it was, but it was a couple back that said how Bill likes these kinds of guys. The guys that he knows are reliable. They're going to be where they're supposed to be. I think Mayo was that guy. He knows where Mayo's going to be, and he likes that comfort. I think he likes that with McCourty. I think McCourty will get an extension like Mayo did, and we're all going to sit here and say, really? He got that? Because I think they really like his reliability of being in the right place when he's supposed to be. But I don't think these guys are like, I don't think they're the playmakers that you drafted them to be.
And when you draft guys and first keep guys that are reliable, you have a team radio website that says an entire offseason they need playmakers. The reason they can't win these games is they got no playmakers. Well, because the playmakers they drafted aren't playmakers.
And I do think that's what Bill likes with some
and
of those guys.
And how many linebackers are you going to have who are just reliable and I have to pay $50 million?
At some point,
to?
You take a guy 10, you take a guy 25, you take a guy 24 or whatever it was that McCourty, 26, 7 or whatever
27.
McCourty went. Yeah, at some point, those guys need to be your playmakers that
right.
you're looking for, Andy.
Right.
And I'm not sure they have
Instead,
those.
I have to trade for a troubled playmaker and hope that he does the job.
You got bailed out because you got the playmaker that way. Now, you don't have to get playmakers all the same way. Tlaib is the playmaker.
7-2. All right, let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
That's good. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to y'all, and I can really agree with Andy, a couple of other one of y'all, about Hightower. I'm like one of the biggest criticizes of him. I just don't understand. Like, I think Bill don't want, he want to draft guys that can pretty much do a little bit of everything, but not who's skilled at one thing, who's very good at it. I think that's just been his philosophy, and it's just frustrating because even when Hightower, like how he made that good, like he was in good coverage against that Pittsburgh running back.
Yeah.
But the ball hit him in the helmet, and it's just like he didn't have he just didn't get his head around on the ball. It just goes to show you what kind of player he is. That's what's frustrating. Even having good coverage, the ball hit him in the helmet. And I know John said that a linebacker going deep down that far wouldn't be able to make a play like that. It's tough for a linebacker play. I don't know. Patrick Willis definitely would have picked that off.
Well, we do. That is a tough play for a linebacker. And we do, I say it sarcastically
like
a lot, but Patrick Willis is a different beast. He's, a Hall of Famer, potentially.
But now we're adding to that list. It's Willis, it's Kuechly, it's Bowman, it's, there's more and more of those guys out there.
But
it used to be, it was just Patrick Willis. He was the only one that could do those things.
Like John Beeson was in that group, and he got traded. D'Amico Ryans was in that group, and he got traded.
Now, he's getting, those two guys, I'm not sure Ryans was in that. I mean, Beeson definitely was, and Vilma was.
Ryans was definitely in the Mayo conversation.
They're a little bit of long
extensions.
In the tooth at this point, too, though. Beeson's been around a little bit.
Oh, yeah. How old is
Vilma been around a little bit,
too. Oh, Vilma's, Beeson's old?
At this point, yeah, I think so.
Do anyone know the name of that linebacker from Buffalo? He's a rookie, and he made a...
Kiko Alonso. There's another one that you could add to the list. Absolutely. Kiko Alonso.
He's that's an impact player, and we don't have any of those. Even Mayo.
Oh, Beeson might be, what,
Mayo,
like 5-6 years?
Those kind of impact
I think
players.
He's like Mayo's
age.
Beeson.
Oh, yeah, I don't consider him old.
But
I think he's sort of done making plays.
Well, that's because he had, microfracture surgery, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Beeson was considered one of the top two or three athletic playmaking
fast
linebackers
I just think
in
that
the
he,
game.
Right. I think he made more plays than Mayo did. That's all I'm saying.
No, he did.
Yeah.
And I think that now he's sort of past that stage.
Well, yeah, because I believe he had microfracture surgery.
John Beeson?
Beeson, yeah.
Yes, he makes a lot of plays. Even Devin McCourty, think he's that Ed Reed type playmaking guy. He's just a guy who's just out there and knows the system. And,
I agree.
He's not in the wrong place a lot of times, but he's also not. That was a rare thing where he batted that ball to, who was it, Ryan?
Cole. Marquise Cole.
No, you're right. Hightower's not Patrick Willis, and McCourty's not Ed Reed. You're right.
Right. So,
you could take your ball and go home, too, if you want.
I hate Fred on the radio.
That's why I'm just wondering, does Bill know who he's drafting? Because I heard that he don't even follow the guys that scout.
I don't know how he does it.
I'll tell you. If you
Tom
want
to, Brady.
Bingo. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean.
He didn't have him 1 year, didn't make the playoffs. Didn't have another year, didn't make the playoffs. Had him those other years, gets to the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, do you think Bill actually pays attention to who he's drafting? Because I heard he doesn't listen to the scouts.
Well, that has been a criticism over the years that there's some contention between what the scouts put together over 365 days and what Bill kind of, how he puts that to use over the last stretch before the draft. Right. That has certainly come up in the war room and different snippets you hear that scouts are annoyed by that.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. We heard from that Buffalo.
A lot with Ross Idaling. We heard that a little bit with Tavon Wilson and Daron Harmon more recently.
Parker writes in, that was Eric. I'd like to thank Paulie for speaking the truth. I used to think the Pets were good and had a chance of beating anyone they played, you know, with our Hall of Fame coach and quarterback, but I've been reflecting upon Paulie's statement that they have no chance against Denver, and I agree. The Patriots have no shot in hell of beating the Broncos. We should just lie down and let Peyton rub his you-know-what head all over us.
Sarcasm alert.
So,
are you sure?
No, I think he was.
No, he's not.
You don't think so?
No, that's not what I said either.
Well, you didn't say the part about the head, but
no, you add that because you and Andy are infatuated with male genitalia.
I didn't add that; it was an email. But you agree with him that they have no shot.
No, and that guy, I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you did.
Especially,
I thought, and no one was here to know for sure.
We
right?
can go. We can
Wasn't
go,
this the fight when we left?
Yeah,
right, it was just you
right,
two.
Right.
We can go back, and I also said
he
a
said,
lot.
He said.
One of the at the time I said I don't see the Patriots beating Denver. I do not see it happening. And I stand by the fact that I said it. But I also said a lot can change.
Oh, yes.
And,
sure.
and since then, the quarterback has gotten hurt, and the coach almost died. Other than that, nothing's happened in Denver.
Right, but that's not fair, though. I mean,
no, I know. It's not fair to expect the team to just continue to be as great as it was without their coach and quarterback.
At the state of the teams when we were having the conversation, you didn't think the Patriots had a chance.
And that's absolutely fact.
And that's fine.
That's fact.
That's fine. Now you think they do because a guy almost died and
I'm not
another
sure
guy
I
almost
do.
Lost his leg.
I'm not sure I do. I'm just saying things change. I just think things can change.
Absolutely
that's
things can
but
change.
But I'm not sure I think that the Patriots are going to beat Denver. I don't think that.
Even
right
now?
No. I told you. You know, you asked me yesterday when you were trying to get me to say something.
We'll make picks for that game next
week. I couldn't figure out what you wanted me to say, but I don't think the Patriots are going to hold them under 30.
Okay. That's probably, you know, I'm afraid of that myself.
Well, you're deathly afraid of it. You think they're going to lose 2 in a row.
7-2.
TG and NJ.
I don't know what that means.
7-2.
We just end with that.
TG says the biggest Belichick bust was Rozai Dowling.
That's up there. That's
you
up
can
there.
Make the case
yeah,
for
that's
that.
That's up there.
Sure. Yep.
Kevin O'Connell. Yeah, I think Dowling right now is the leader in
but
the clubhouse.
Yeah.
First pick
yeah,
of the second round.
It'd be hard to imagine
round,
getting
nothing.
Less out yeah. of a pick that high.
Yeah.
Brace would be in that conversation.
What about Chad Jackson?
I mean, he's in the conversation.
Sure.
He's
moved up in the second round again.
He's in the conversation. You could have had Greg Jennings, I believe. That was the one that was standing right after him.
Yep.
Eric in Houston, I have two questions. Do you all think it's possible that Steve Gregory could potentially play with a huge club in his hand, kind of like Clay Matthews did last week?
I think he will at some point.
I ask because I would much rather have him on the field the rest of the way instead of Daron Harmon. Second question is for Paul.
Hang on 1 second. Harmon will be playing, would have been playing anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
But in a lesser role.
On a rotational
basis.
This
will be an increased role.
Yeah. Second question for Paul. Paul, last year, about 3 weeks before the Houston regular season game, you predicted a blowout and you were spot on. Do you think the same thing will happen in a few weeks? I'm really hoping so that way I can rub it in to all the Texans fans' face on my way out of the stadium the same way they did to me back in 2009. Thanks for all the great work, and you guys do, and as always, have to just – actually, in 09, they won that game. So.
I thank you, but I don't really remember thinking the Patriots were going to blow out Houston in that Monday night game.
I think
maybe 3 weeks before you did, and then you didn't
change my mind.
Kind of like
this Denver thing now. We're big on making picks well in advance of the games.
Most important thing about that game is it's at 1.
If we were playing that game right now, I would absolutely predict the Patriots to blow them out.
Denver?
No.
Oh, Houston.
Houston.
Yeah, sure. They're in disarray.
Sure.
You know? Andrew in San Diego wants to know how the next great tight end act, Zach Sudfeld, has been doing this year.
Sarcasm alert.
Made a couple of catches in their last game, but hasn't quite turned into the next great tight end as of yet.
Well, you know, he's not exactly on the next great offense either. Yeah, you can only do what's around you.
The next to football life is the forward pass. Wow, that's way too deep for me.
What if it's a short pass? It's not deep.
Way too deep for me.
Alex from Ottawa.
Do they have a lot of footage on that?
Oh, they have 5 or 6 decades worth of
I mean the actual, like, I want the game before, what a game looked like when it didn't have a forward pass, and then the game after.
They probably have film of the first forward pass.
Because that's kind of cool. Like, if they just give you a feel for this was football pre, boom.
Yeah.
But guys banging into each other.
Do you think when
the
they
single
threw,
wing and all that?
And then what was the first pass? You think they have it?
But do you think when they threw the first forward pass, there were a bunch of old guys in the stands with the hats on, and they went, yeah. You know, like they show in every
Brady
like,
Paul.
You know, like
could have had a VA.
Like Willie Mays is over the shoulder catch. They show the same guy.
Yeah, wearing those long dress coats and the scarves.
That would be cool to see fedora. The first pass and like I'm sure it's going to look funny.
Sammy Baugh.
It's not exactly.
And the football
be,
back then was like
it was like a rugby
really
ball.
Round.
I
yeah,
couldn't
like,
tell you who the quarterback was, but Don Hutson caught all those touchdown passes 100 years ago. I mean, he had to have someone throwing them to him.
Right.
It's a long time
Maybe
ago.
Maybe he did the Mr. Perfect and threw it to himself.
Mr. Perfect.
He used to do that, remember?
My husband can throw and catch at the same time.
Save that for the offseason, friend.
7-2.
For the accent.
Accent off.
Right.
7-2.
All right. Well, John Rook just stepped into the into
playbook.
The fray.
Playbook.
To the fray. How you doing?
Fray.
Excellent. And fray. You?
Good, good.
Got your Friar colors on today.
Yeah, yeah. Good game tonight.
Got game.
Is that a rule? You got to wear black for Friar games?
I try to, you know, sport the school colors. Yes.
Who are they playing?
Brown.
Brown. So that's
black and brown.
Although every year they lose a game like that.
Like
right?
Bean dip.
They did last year.
Yeah. They lost to Brown last year?
Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Last second shot.
So is PC just 1-0?
Yes, correct. Okay. 1-0.
All right.
Good stuff. Going for two.
So far, so good. Yep. Did you watch any of the college hoops last night? It's pretty good.
I did not.
Oh, I did.
Ooh,
I'm Paul's all on board in. With tanking.
There'll be some youngins out there. There'll be some youngins out there that can play ball.
Yeah. I mean, it was one game, but they were all pretty impressive.
Now, yeah. Yeah, I thought Jabari Parker from Duke was really, really good. Problem is that nobody in Duke knows how to play defense at all.
Yeah, it's funny watching them play like that, isn't it?
Kansas is a very good team.
This is like when we close the show with a little John Paul.
Little
college basketball.
That's right, a little college basketball
question
talk.
Is how many listeners stay around for this or just click off?
Right.
Answer,
so John's
none.
Not getting the carryover.
So, John, you came in. What happened to Todd Christensen?
What happened to who?
Todd
Christensen.
Dead, you know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
You hadn't heard. Oh. So evidently this is not getting much attention.
My irresponsible assumption was he was an Oakland Raider who used steroids, and it's steroid-related.
Might have been. I mean, I certainly could make that leap of faith because of the era in which he played and you know.
And his career.
And his career, yeah.
You know, he was
his
sort
age.
Of this,
I mean, he
like,
wasn't much older than we
nothing
are.
Nothing overachiever. And
57,
all of a
I believe it's.
Caught 100 passes with
57
Oakland.
Years old. Yeah, that's not much older than we are. I'll have to look
it's
into
actually
that.
Younger than Paul.
Yeah.
Kevin like that. All right, John's up with the playbook next. And then nothing after that. We have the replay. So we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.